Hi, good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, August 21st, 2017. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 515-604-9386. And our participant code is 419-303. If your cell provider blocks or charges for you, for the call, you can call our backup number, which is 781-838-3728. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. That's questions, plural, @nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is Matthew 15. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or to his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitudes and said unto them, Hear the and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Okay, there's Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Let's see. I don't know, Jan, is Jan back in? I saw him leave the room.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we're going to get the questions in a few minutes if there are any questions, but first I want to just cover a few things. We put some more papers up on the website. I don't know that we sent an email out on them yet, but we will send an email out. Maybe I'll send an email out tomorrow, and I'm sure Jan will cover it in the newsletter if he already hasn't. But if you go up to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight the grand jury tab and click on docket. So you want to get to nationallibertyalliance.org/docket. That's the page you want to be on. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we put up there a evidence report on 9/11. It was called the Grand Jury Report Regarding the Criminal Investigation of 9/11. We sent some emails out, and I think Jan's been reminding everyone, if not, make sure we are, with maybe a sentence or two, to take a look at these reports, because in the near future, we're going to be making some decisions on indictments concerning the 9/11. But also, this week, I think it was, last week, actually, we put up there the grand jury investigation of Loy Finnegan's homicide. Right underneath the grand jury report for the 9/11. So it's down towards the bottom of the list, and it's called evidence report. So there's two reports up there. We're looking to put a couple of more. We're not going to mention at this moment in time what we're going to be putting up there, but we are going to be putting some more pretty soon. I think within a week or so we'll probably get another one. So people, there's quite a bit of evidence here, quite a bit of information. Now we have in particular, we're keeping, The individuals we're considering for indictment, we're not mentioning them at this point in time. Their names will be brought up at the point in time when we come together to consider indictment. We probably will give everybody a couple of days to read some more information concerning the individuals, or as far as that we're looking to indict for these things. And then, of course, we'll call together and come together and make a decision whether we want to indict or not these individuals. And in all of these cases, there's multiple individuals involved. And so we will, go through them one by one and decide together on whether we're going to indict or not certain individuals. So again, everybody should get up there and be reading these two reports. I know there is a lot of affidavits that have been written, or people have been going to the courts, and hopefully writing affidavits, concerning what's going on out there in Nevada with the Bundy case. We know that some people have been given, already been sentenced out there. We need information on this stuff. If we're going to let these people just go to jail, and I don't know why we would do something like that. But people have got to give us the information in order for us to try to do something. I think we should be putting together information, considering an indictment potentially for the judge out there that's just breaking all the laws of justice. They got a court of injustice going on, and there's so many things we can go after this judge for. And other individuals involved here. This judge doesn't sit alone on this. But in order to do anything for these people out there, a couple of these people, I think it was two or three people, someone can correct me, but a couple of these people, I understand, have already been convicted out there and got 50 or 60 years or something like that. Maybe someone could give us the more accurate detail on that information. I don't recall it. But anyway, we need to do something for these people. Clearly, they've been, kangarooed court into this system, and justice has not prevailed here, but injustice has prevailed. We need to do a show cause for these people. We need to collect all this information and start gathering it together for potential indictments. But it's going to require people to give us affidavits, people to get us affidavits. It's going to require also the transcripts of the court. Now, I understand people go and they take notes, and I understand people, some people might even have these transcripts, but we certainly can't do anything without that paperwork. We have nothing to show, the grand jury to consider anything. We also can't do a show cause. We have nothing to show for it. So we need this information. One way or another, we've got to get this information. Okay, anyway, hopefully we'll be able to do something for these people. Let me see. There's quite a bit of stuff that for the Bundy case or as a whole, when we bring the wildlife case and all the other stuff together, and what went on down at the Bundy Ranch. Collectively, I think we're going to be able to put that together under the law, the Lavoie Finnegan homicide. That being the case, we might add to that. We might add, I'm not sure how we're going to do it. We might put it right into the zip file and add the information concerning that case. So anyway, everybody should be up there on the website, going to the docket page and going down to the evidence reports. If you haven't already downloaded the 9/11 report, then download it and start looking at the evidence. If you haven't already downloaded, everybody's just hearing about the Lavoie Finnegan homicide case. So again, that's a zip. Download the information on that. There's a video and quite a large PDF to be read through, and lots of other videos attached to that PDF. They should be clickable links, but if they're not, you can cut and paste them into your web browser, and you'll get to the other videos. We have not filed with the court yet the Lavoie Finnegan homicide case yet, but we will be doing that this week. I'm sure we're going to do this this week, which we will send a copy to the court of record. which we started up here in Albany, New York. We'll be sending a copy to the Judicial Committee Chairman, I believe a senator, and we also have a congressman. We'll also be sending a copy to the president and also to Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General. We also are going preparing some paperwork concerning the slow or lack of response to us concerning these issues. But we'll probably do that after we update them on the paperwork that we have going. So maybe next week we'll do something with a paper going to actually, not sure how we're going to handle it. We have a couple different options and we haven't decided yet. So we'll figure that out and then, of course, we'll let everybody know. Okay. Let's see what else we got going here. We're still taking affidavits. If anybody has affidavits concerning abuse, concerning being imprisoned unjustly, or anybody lost a house, or anything of that nature, something where the government has violated people. But we're not talking about traffic violations. We're not going to get into those things at this point in time. But we're talking about serious abuse, you know, where people are facing jail time, an IRS issue, people who maybe have been incarcerated for an IRS issue, or for any issue, for that matter, where the government has come out against them. We would also, if someone is in jail for a traffic violation, and they, you know, maybe driving without a license, and they've been put in jail for a year or 6 months or something like that, we'll take that case and as far as an affidavit to put it into our paperwork. The purpose of the affidavits is to show that this is a problem nationwide and that they're just coming out after the people and people are being incarcerated. But the key thing is it starts a process in with the grand jury for those affidavits at some point in time. Once we get moving and can get that credibility together and get the necessary assistance from someone within government, which there's got to be someone at some point that will break, you know, and again, that may require a critical mass in order for that to happen. But once we get moving and our indictments are taken serious and we move for more indictments and we start getting cases open and going, then we'll start working with people on the local areas to bring together grand juries for potential indictments. They'll be able to bring their story to the people locally. We'll have to call grand juries locally. So we'll be working with our members who are working as administrators and others who will want to volunteer their time in their areas in order to pull together a grand jury and enforce it within the court system. In this case, it'll be the federal, probably. I'm not sure. I get different cases could be different, but generally, I think it would be in the federal districts. So we'll start pushing those cases for justice and trying to help those people. And a lot of those people may have been in and out of jail already, but nevertheless, we need to deal with these problems. So those affidavits at some point we will try to act upon them. The things that we are acting upon right now, judicial foreclosures. We are acting upon that right now. Anybody who's in danger of losing a home or has lost a home, can file a paper and we'll pursue that for them. And we are pursuing this through the court system for looking for defaults because they won't answer us. So a default, we'll be able to execute a judgment for restitution for the individuals to get their homes back or to be left alone if they're still in it. We've done quite a few habeas corpuses, over the year or so. We'd like to get back to doing that. We're putting together a team of people. We got some more people involved with us. So we might get back to that soon. I'd like to get back to that. And if all goes well, maybe in a week or so or two, then maybe we will be back to that. But we'll see how that goes, working with the team of people to make sure that we can, facilitate the necessities in order to file this paperwork. There's quite a bit of paperwork to be filed on a habeas corpus when you go through the whole process, and then it's got to be very specific. So, all right. Anyway, we'll see what we're going to do about habeas corpus soon. Of course, we're still organizing for administrators across the nation, and we're organizing grassroots to get involved in committees of safeties on the local level to take control and to work with the individuals who are pursuing the administrative part of working with the juries and the grand juries in order to bring these people together, call for them, and start, hearing cases, getting grand juries to hear cases and trial juries to hear cases. To hear cases. But of course, that's going to require us moving through the courts at that point in order to get that going. But we're still organizing for that purpose. So we're trying to build up that grand jury to build the jury administrations and also committees of safeties. Jan, is there anybody who's got any announcements before we go to questions?
Announcements, I have not heard of any. We have a number of questions.
Okay, let's go through some questions.
Okay, you mentioned that we aren't doing traffic issues. Do you want a traffic issue question?
I'm sorry, say it again?
You mentioned we don't want affidavits on traffic issues. Do you want a traffic issue question?
Yeah, we can answer some traffic issue questions maybe.
Who actually initiates an action on traffic offenses? On an operating while intoxicated charge in Wisconsin, initiated from a speeding charge, the DVM immediately revokes the driver's license on a third offense. Violator is jailed, then released on bond. The officer writes the summons, the DA prosecutes, the judge has a pre-sentenced judgment resulting in continuous crimes, in quotes, no injury, intent, or accuser. The violator is facing thousands of dollars, years of interlock on all vehicles owned, probation, dummy classes, until they decide to graduate the violator. The DMV charges separate requirements from the judge's sentence, but the judge includes it in the sentence. Subjects lose jobs due to missed work, court appointments, dummy classes, no way to get there without a license, and so forth. Still, they require rent for jail time. Thousands are being punished for these illegal charges. People are losing their homes, becoming suicidal, and suffering from anxiety and stress for years as a result. Can't there be an immediate stay to this nonsense? A robber, murder, criminal is not pre-sentenced, has no continuous increases in fines and outcome. Maybe it's time. I don't understand this. Maybe it's read in to consider during sentencing. And that is the questions, plural.
Okay. All right, well, that's quite a long question, and let me ask people when they write in not to get so involved with the, such a long question. Maybe break it up in a few questions if necessary, but in any event, look at the whole system that we're living under right now is put together to cause chaos, division, anger, stress, just keeping us busy and keeping us fighting against each other, too. So it's not we can't change the existing system. Because we have to be able to have authority in the courts before we could do anything about that. Once we have the authority in the courts, we can move very quickly across this entire nation and correct this problem in a very quick way. It's a shame you used the DWI thing, because I want to make it clear we're not condoning anybody driving while under the influence of anything. Look at this, very dangerous, and you can kill somebody, and it's not being responsible. And something does have to be done with those people who refuse to obey the law of the land, ultimately. You can't put people at risk. So before I continue answering the question, I want to deal with that problem. You know, we probably can deal with that a little differently. People can deal with that differently on the grassroots level. But it is something that we will bring to the consciousness of the administrators so that they know about this in all of the counties, and to be able to try to maybe work something out and on how they would go about dealing with someone and stopping someone who is driving while unimpaired, you know, drinking and driving or under the influence of some other drug or something. But we can come up, we got one idea, but I'm sure other people have other ideas, and I think the ideas and areas that are kind of gray like this, you know, we can put it in a someplace on the website where the juries can go up and consider different ideas and they can make their own decision on what they want to apply. But one of the key things, I think, might be, look, if someone is weaving back and forth down the road, it's the duty of the police officer to stop that person. Maybe they're having a heart attack. Maybe they're having a stroke. Maybe some other medical problem has taken place. Or maybe they're drunk. Or maybe they're stoned on some other drug. Okay, but it is a duty of any law enforcement out there, and of course the sheriff, the constitutional officer, to pull that individual over to make sure everything's okay and see what's going on. And if it is the case that they're drunk or stoned on some drug, impaired in some way, it is the duty of that officer to take to not permit that person to continue driving. They can't allow that person to put all the other people at risk. So I would think the best thing to do is to have the vehicle towed, take the person home, take their keys, have the vehicle towed, let them pay for the to get their vehicle back, and then drop the keys off at the courthouse to be given to the grand jury, and then these people can make an appointment to see the grand jury to get their keys back. So they'd meet with the or whatever the sitting grand jury is, and we'd advise the grand jury on some ideas and thoughts on what might be done, and then it'll up to them to make a decision on what they might be able to do with this individual. Clearly, if people continue to violate this and put people at risk, something needs to be done. So we have to think about those kind of issues. But as far as the rest of the situation, all of it is illegal, unconstitutional, and as far as going through a court system, prosecuting, and all that stuff without an indictment, it just can't stand. Because anybody who is facing a potential jail sentence of even just a week or a month, okay, they must be indicted first. It's the people that have to approve that. People cannot just be arrested. Clearly, any kind of traffic violations, driving without a license, unless it's a commercial vehicle, you know, there is a law, there's a commercial laws, we've given the authority. Certain things must be licensed. And in that process of safety, if they want to require that they have to pass some kind of a driving test to get a commercial license to drive a truck or something, it all sounds logical and appropriate, and it's legal and it's constitutional. But certainly they can't do that on an individual who's driving just a regular vehicle. You know, when cars started to come out in the road, you know, after they came out with the vehicles, you know, people didn't get licenses. That happened way years after that people were driving cars. You know, it makes sense, of course, to stop at a red light and you know, look, I think red lights in a lot of places could be totally done away with. You put the crosswalks there and you put, you know, yield to pedestrians when you're coming through villages or towns. And I think that works very well. I've seen this up in a lot of places up here, upstate New York. I've seen towns that are doing this, and it works very well. And people stop, and you're watching for the pedestrians now. You're not watching for the light ready to hit that gas pedal. Maybe someone's coming off to your left, and you're looking up to your right, and all of a sudden that light turns green, and you're hitting the gas, and someone just walked in front of your car because you wasn't watching for pedestrians. That's what the lights do to us. They train us to not watch for pedestrians. They train us to look at lights and respond, go, stop, and go to a light and not to a person who's crossing the street. Now, I'm sure places, there are certain, certain intersections that are extremely dangerous that would require a complicated system for people to take turns. Maybe they can, if they start to do circle things, maybe that could answer the problem. Other than that, maybe a light is appropriate. A light would be cheaper, of course, but eventually you'd hope that people get the circles. In a place like New York City or Philadelphia, I guess we're going to continue with lights there. But again, you know, You come to a light, you stop, there's nobody around. There's no reason to wait there. You make your right turn, your left turn, as long as you're not putting anyone in jeopardy. Well, that's got to be figured out. The cities are a problem, okay? But look it, you know, people who just totally ignore these things and they injure somebody, they're going to pay through the teeth because the common law will come down on them hard for them to be being irresponsible and neglectful and putting others in danger. And you injure somebody when you're doing that, you're going to pay through the teeth. I think the key to all of these situations is education. And it starts with our children, a proper education. That will repair a lot of problems. It'll also prevent criminals from kind of coming out from amongst us. I mean, we'll always have criminals, but a lot less. You can't be putting people in jail for all these things. They need to address their problems and pay restitution, and juries can come up with all kinds of interesting ideas and ways to, make these people who refuse to do the right thing, that injure somebody, to do the right thing. And that also works as a deterrent, and good ideas that people come up with, we can put onto the website so other juries will have more to consider, or grand juries if they're working a deal out, to consider on how they might want to deal with these kind of problems. All right, I guess that's pretty much all I have to say on that. Anything else, John?
Hey, John, I just want to add something to this whole traffic stop, driving under the influence of baloney. A lot of it is arbitrary and capricious. Look, most of the time they're not stopping somebody because they're swerving. I mean, sometimes they do, but most of the time it's a fishing expedition. I know people have been busted because they had mouthwash in their mouth. They can pull you out and do a blood test on you, and if you had any marijuana in your system, they got you for driving under the influence, and it could have been a month ago. Look, if you can pass a field sobriety test and they're taping you, they should let you go. I don't give a crap what your blood says. It's baloney. They're taking people who are on doctor's meds and busting them also that are driving, and they're claiming they're driving under the influence. So there's a lot of mandatory sentencing, which is bad. It's a bad thing. Anytime you have mandatory sentencing, because it takes all the discretion out of the judge and the jury and anybody else, because mandatory means, hey, if it's like what they do to the jury today, was the statute broken or not? They don't want to know any circumstances. We don't need that crap, because that's robotics. That's what they want you to be, a robot, and it's about making money. So look, if you can pass a field sobriety test, you know, and you're perfectly able to walk the line, so to speak, they should not be able to bust you, because they're bringing people into this whole system. The other thing I want to say is, on a normal traffic stop for anything else, and I mean even if they think you're under the influence or whatever, they don't smell anything, they don't have any probable cause. If people go and study that Eddie Craig's dialogue, when the police comes to the window, you read that dialogue. That's the best one I've ever seen, because it's set up for their statutory court. It's set up. He was a cop. He busted people for years, and he knows how the system works. He says, when they come up, this is your script. You don't get away from the script. You read the script. And then when you do that, if you do that and you go to court, they'll lose, because what you do is you get them in a horn dilemma, and I think it's the best one. If you really want to learn how to stay out of trouble and what to say to the police officer when he comes to the car, go on the Eddie Craig site and type that paper out and put it in the car and practice it. That's the best thing you can do in this day and age. And he has people that win all the time using that. And I don't see why our members shouldn't be, why we shouldn't promote him, because he actually is doing something that's proactive to keeping people out of trouble, and he has a track record to prove it. So just go on there and learn that. It doesn't. He gives it away for free. You don't even have to pay, you know. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say. Another thing, John, is on those Nevada trials, I don't know if you know it or not, but there was some Sugarloaf mine and other things that went on out west in different states that they chased the Forestry Service and the BLM out. They added those incidences to the guys in Nevada sentence because they said this is all a militia conspiracy, and the jury was confused. They said, wait a minute, isn't this for the cattle? And they say, well, we're adding the Sugarloaf mine thing because these guys are all together and they're an illegal militia. They're a group. They're a subversive. That we got to address that. That's baloney. How they could take an incident from another state and
without affidavits, we can't address anything.
Well, that's
we've had contact with some of these people. We've told them what we needed, and they still don't get it to us. They spend a lot of time going out there and maybe sitting in the courtroom and maybe demonstrating someplace or getting together and discussing these things and doing YouTube stuff and everything. But unfortunately, they're missing us. And we try to ask them for, you know, they're there anyway. And I presume they're keeping notes on what's going on because they're doing YouTubes on this stuff. But they need to create an affidavit. We'll help them take that information, create an affidavit with it, and get them to sign it, and we'll put it into, and we'll do something about it. So these people need to get more active in the judicial process. Now, I know a lot of these people have lost total faith in the judicial process. But look, you shouldn't lose faith in the people. You shouldn't lose faith in we, the people, who are coming together to try to deal with this issue, educate ourselves in this area, deal with this issue, and bring justice back and bring a reasonable, logical, just court back into the system. But it's not going to happen until the people wake up. People are not really paying close enough attention and consideration. Again, maybe they've made their minds up and nothing in the courts are going to work. Well, shame on them, because look at this. It's still a time of peaceful reaction, and we're doing something totally different. So people have got to react. Going back to what you just said, Gerard, all that's good for right now, and people should do whatever they can. Again, you know, if I do get a ticket, I send one paper in. Half the time it works, half the time it doesn't. The times it works, that's fine. I just never hear back from them again. The times it doesn't work, then they give me a court date. I just plead guilty and pay the fine and move on and throw it into a file. Maybe one day I'll go back and sue them all. But, you know, that's not why I don't want to fight the battle, you know, any more than to get to a point where you might find yourself in jail. So people need to be a little careful because they are getting more vicious on people who are trying to get out of this. But generally, I don't think they are. It's a good place to learn. But at some point, you have to realize and when to back off.
Hey,
if you're willing to go to jail for this, that's fine. And, you know, but I mean, I can't afford to go to jail. And I imagine most people, it's very uncomfortable jail too, by the way. So
yeah, most of the time you pay the ticket, they let you go. They just want the money. Most of the time you pay the ticket, they let you go, as long as you don't get stupid.
That's all there is. That's the point. Yeah, if you cooperate, you can buck them once. And if it doesn't work, then just plead guilty and just walk out of there and just pay the fine and get out of there. Again, if you want to try to fight it, you know, you can practice. You'll get to the end. They'll find you guilty anyway, but it is good practice, so, you know, you can do it. But don't get too upset if you find out that you're still going to pay the fine, because 99 chances out of 100 you're going to have to pay that fine, especially if you're fighting them. But, you know, maybe if you make a federal case out of it, that's a whole new story. But who's got time to make federal cases out of traffic infractions? You know, that's another thing, you know. All right, did you want to add anything else to this?
I just want to say that, so I got notes here that the dialer on the front of our site's not working. People can't get in. I don't know why. There's not a number coming up that dials into this thing.
This, in my opinion, this whole system is just...
Our numbers are very low, and I've had numerous people saying they can't get a valid number when they hit that dialer. It gives you a list of numbers that you're supposed to click on or something. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's not working.
There is no dialer there. There is no dialer there.
Well, there's a. I don't know why they're not getting in on that bottom phone thing. Is that...
No. That's confusing people now. That's a different room for a different thing. We're using the old system for our regular meetings, okay? And we're using the new system for the Monday call. So people, this is a case of people not reading, and this is a common problem. People don't read. They want to get into, a couple of words here. What do they call that? Can't even think of it because I don't even deal with it. People, you know, texting back and forth, the little bits of information, or they're skimming through reading. They're not reading the page. Let me go to the weekly call page. It's very, very clear. It doesn't get any more difficult than this. Monday weekly conference call, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Standard Time. Join us, blah, 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 blah. Call in number 515-604-9386. Access code 419-303. Press 6 to mute and unmute, then 1 to get into the queue. If your cell provider blocks or charges for the call, you can call our backup number, 781-838-3728. Or you can download the free conference call app and go to the bottom of the page for the desktop app. So you can download the app, and they have an app for your cell phones and for your tablets, and they also have an app for your desktop computer. So you have to download the app, and then you can dial in right off of the app. Those are the only two ways you can get into this meeting. And again, people are not reading. Now, if you go further down, we have Wednesday calls, Thursday calls, and so on. And it says to join our committee meeting, call 605. And then also you can click here for the dial-in. And that's what people are doing. They're going right down to the committee meetings and clicking the dialer probably. And therefore, they're not getting into the meeting.
That's what's going on. They're clicking that green phone on the bottom.
You know what? I think we're going to have to change this and put to join our committee meetings, click here. For information to join our committee meetings throughout the week, click here and take them to another page to put this information so people don't get confused. But that's probably what's happening.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that. That's all.
Okay. Because people do not have to use the app. They just take the phone number. They can use their, if they have Skype or some other dialer, online dialer that they want to use, if they have a telephone, or they want a smartphone, whatever they want to dial in on, just dial the phone number, press the 6 to mute and unmute, and you're there. There's nothing else to deal with. And again, you have to do an app. It's not a browser thing that we had before. You have to do the app, download the app, and install it. I don't know. So that's the problem. All right. Anything else, Gerard, before I move on?
Not from me, no.
All right. Okay. Jan, any other questions?
Oh, yes. We have several more. The next one is short, clear, and concise. Can you go over the lawful and legal details of the Form 4490, Form 56, and the affidavit? What is the law as it pertains to the origination and enforcement of the three?
Okay. This is very important. This is probably the most important thing any of us could come to an understanding of if you're trying to get out of the grips of the government chasing you for money, okay? And even chasing you for you to try to take your property for taxes or whatever, okay? Extremely important that people understand this. And I'm going to be very specific, and I'm going to cover the whole thing right now. And if people still don't understand it, all you have to do is download tonight's recording and just get back to this point. It's about 9:50 right now. So it's about – we started late, so about the 40-minute mark is where we're at right now. And just listen to it again because it's really extremely simple, okay? It's very simple. All right, here's the key. Whenever the government comes to take something away from you without going to the court, IRS, tax, maybe coming out after you for taxes for your property or whatever, any other reason, even state tax, anything, they love to create these bills and send them to you, and they can't even prove them, and they don't. It's usually very much very high. I spoke to someone today who gets this high bill. I forget what the amount was, maybe $8,000 or something like that, $10,000. And then they put a penalty on top of that, almost double the I think it was $8,000 and $16,000 in penalties, so 200% penalty. I mean, where the heck are we with that kind of stuff, you know? You can argue that penalty because, look, you can't go, that's called usury. You know, you can't take $8,000 and make it $24,000 because that's what they want to do. That's vicious. It's destructive. It's evil. It's a crime. It's fraud. It's all kinds of stuff. But you don't have to put your battle there on that. It's a very simple process, and you need to understand this. They're taking your money, they're seizing your property in these areas for taxes and the IRS and maybe other places that government things are doing this to get you take your money. And they're seizing it in a process called in rem, I-N-R-E-M, two words, in rem. Okay, without getting into details, ultimately that's the right to seize property from a pirate. That's the law of the sea. You capture pirate ship, you bring it back into the port, you file the fiduciary authority over it, you file the proof of claim over it in the docking, then you take ownership, and it's done. You don't have to go out chasing the person to give them due process. That's the law of the sea. That law has snuck on land. It's in the federal, you'll find it weaved throughout the federal rules. If you go up and read the federal rules, you'll find it in state laws. I know it's here in New York law. I don't know how many states have it. I presume all states have it, but maybe not. I don't know. But you'll find it in the law where they'll come out and seize your property in rem. What you need to understand is for them to seize anything in rem, they still have to file what's called a proof of claim and fiduciary authority. It's two forms. You go onto the website, go out to the web, and you can put into the, Google 4490. Just put 4490 and hit enter, and you will get the form. It's an IRS form 4490. Or put in form 56. Hit the enter button, and you will get immediately right there form 56. One is a proof of claim. The other one is fiduciary authority. They must fill that out and file it in the federal court of the district that they're chasing you in. So whatever county you're in, you find out what district your county is in, and you go down to that federal court, you go down to the records, and you ask for any filings on you. You give them the information who you are. Ask for any filings, for proof of claims or fiduciary authority or anything filed on you. You will find it'll come up empty. These people don't even know they have to do that, okay? They don't even know it. And actually, they don't want them to know it. They want them to just operate as just right out of the clear, continue this. So you'll find it's not there. So now you can now walk into the court armed, okay? And if you're in a court that's trying to take you, well, first of all, you'll find that you're not in a court. They're not taking you to court. So you'll have to open up a court of record in a federal level. Because this is a federal offense, okay? This is for cause. Coming in for cause. What's the cause? The government violating your due process rights. That's your cause. Fifth Amendment, right to due process. Now you have a cause to go into the federal court. You lay out a paper, very simple. You don't have to get in. You don't have to argue anything they're coming out after because they're not there for that. You're there to stop them. That's what you're there for. And you make the case very clearly. You can do it on two or three pages. Make the case very clearly. They don't have the fiduciary authority. They don't have the proof of claim. The federal judge understands what you're talking about. Okay? And you can search our website. You'll probably find some examples up there of stuff we've written that you can use. But keep it short and sweet, 3 to 5 pages at most. You've got to do an affidavit, remember, and you file it. Make sure your wherefore clause is very precise. I would go out after them for what they're coming out after me for. They're coming out after me for $24,000. Well, that's what I want in restitution, $24,000. They named the number. I'm good with that. You do your wherefore clause on whatever it is, okay? They're going to default, okay? Once they default, now you go and you get your judgment, okay? The clerk has to sign, or the judge, the administrator of the court. Usually the clerk will sign it. And once you get that, you can take it to the sheriff and have it executed. You could try using the marshal. I don't know whether you'll get anywhere with that, but definitely you could take it to the sheriff, and he's got to execute the law of the land. That's his job. And you go get your money. And it doesn't matter if it's a government agency. You can make the argument to the sheriff. Hey, look, I got a judgment. I don't care. Let's go down to the county building and let's start removing computers, and I'll start a sale on computers on Craigslist and stuff until I can get my $32,000 or whatever it is, $24,000, whatever it is. You got to push the issue. But that's the key thing, okay? This is all about authority, fiduciary authority over you, and therefore he's been placed into the trust of an individual to make decisions for you for whatever reasons, incompetency, not being there, whatever. And the other thing is, of course, the proof of claim. They got to show the proof of the claim. They got to give you the mathematics, how they came up with the number, and they got to make proof. You can't just make a receipt and send a bill. Well, what are you charging me for? You know, what are you what's the specifics? Okay. I gave you just now everything you need to know on that. And any case that comes out to you in rem, anything that is non-judicial, anything that, and sometimes they will take it through the court, okay? In some cases, they will take it through the court out of their total ignorance on that level. And once you understand that they're operating in rem and the court is violating your right of due process directly, same thing. You know exactly what to do. Make a federal offense out of it. Make a federal case out of it. And get it into the federal courts. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. It's very, very simple, cut and dry. All right, next.
Okay, the next one is similar. On a Monday night call in the past, I heard a speaker talk about IRS forms that state that one does not wish to participate in paying taxes since it is a voluntary system. If this is true, is there an IRS form that I can obtain to take with me to close on a house in another state that would make my intentions clearer from the beginning?
Yeah, these forms exist. You can go out and do it, but you're putting yourself in harm's way, and I certainly wouldn't go out after them that way. They're going to ignore you in the court and steamroll you, and who knows what can happen. So I would never address that problem that way. Let's get back to what it's all about. What are they coming out after you for? They want to get your bank accounts. They want to get your money, your house, your car. They want to take your things away from you. Okay? And it always gets down to the same thing, very same thing. They operate in this in rem. They can't come after you any other way. So they come after you in rem, I-N-R-E-M, two words, in rem. And the answer to that and the solution, exactly what I just said minutes ago. Same answer. Do the same thing. That's the only way you're going to beat these people and get them off your case, you know?
John, I think what they're talking about is what's his name did. They were cracking the code. It doesn't say
you
don't
want
to.
Yeah, but look it. I hear what you're saying. I would never do that. It's too dangerous. If you think that you're really smart enough to be able to respond to all the other smoke that they're going to pump into that courtroom, okay, and respond and deal with all those things, because they're going to fill that courtroom with smoke so the judge will be able to hide behind the smoke and mirrors and go against you, because that's the whole thing's a setup. You're already guilty. As soon as they come after you, you're guilty. You're going to be found guilty in court. Even with a jury trial, chances are you're going to be found guilty because they own the jury. They lock them down.
Yeah, but this is before the fact. This is, look at, when you have an insurance company that fills out a 1099 or form and sends it to the IRS, and you let that sit there and you don't answer it, guess what? They will come out after you, guaranteed. But if you send their form in saying this is a false information report, look at, they got $1 billion in checks that they wrote for people that did that. That part does work because you're being proactive.
Yeah, but there's a couple of things on this. It may work now, but you know they're closing the gap, and tomorrow it may not work. Here's the big problem. People think they can go in because they think they have enough knowledge to deal with it, and they're going to be hit with a lot of stuff, and they better be able to deal with that lot of stuff. Because you got to be able to respond to the court simply and directly to whatever's required, necessary. And then there's certain things you don't have to respond to them. And then you have to make your short case, memorandum, or whatever you got to do to make the point that you don't have to respond, or whatever the case may be. Look, it's a chess game. If someone's really that bright and they can do it and get away with it, fine. But most people are not capable of doing it. Most people aren't even capable of writing the necessary paperwork just to open a court case. Okay, and of course, we give all of that education right here on National Liberty Alliance. You know, we give two courses, that you, one on the Constitution, one on the civics, and we offer a course through Jurisdictionary, okay, for anybody that wants to learn how the paperwork works and how to win in court in 30 days. We wrote down 90 days. because we're expecting people to take that.
The way that they get you is they find other things that you don't, and then they say, look it, you're saying you're a taxpayer here and you're not saying you're one here. So the way to keep them off of you is don't send information reports in. Don't do an activity.
But remember, that's another problem, because I had a person talking to me about that, and I don't have the solution for them because they're stuck. They've already made the reports. They've been participating, and now they don't want to pay. Well, guess what? It's too late now. Now,
that's
how do you get
right.
out
anything
of that? That's
they,
a big question.
You're right. Anything they made a report on, now they have to go back and say, well, that was a mistake.
Yeah, but you're not going to win that battle. It's just not going to be done. You're going to lose in court. The only way to do this is to pay that off and then find a way to get out of their system. And the only way I know how to get out of their system once you're locked into it is to find another job or really, well, first of all, you're going to have to work for yourself. You're not going to be able to get an employer that's going to not play ball unless it's totally under the books. Well, that's one way to do it, get under the books. The other way is to become self-employed and don't report on yourself. But you got to get away from the process that you were using and disappear. If you're in business, you got to go out of business and come back in business someplace else under another name. You know, look, I don't know how you're going to do all that. People are stuck. You know what? The solution is very simple. The solution is National Liberty Alliance. Let's get together and let's make this court work that we're working in. We've opened a court of record in an Article III court. We're very clear on that. We're creating the grand juries at this point for dealing with subversion, but we're creating the administrations for the grand jury, which is the key, in every county in America. So get online with us and let's beat them. Let's take them down and stop the nonsense. Prevent them from coming out after us. Prevent them from taking us into the courts and fearing jail as we play a stupid chess game trying to beat them. And I want to tell you, you know, a lot of people get up there and they write books and they have a website or they have calls and people come in and they're going to tell them exactly what they're going to do to win. Well, that may be true, and sometimes that doesn't work the next month because they'll try to close those gaps. But it may be true. But one of the things you're lacking that they're not really making the point strong enough on is you really better be educated to be able to deal with everything else they're going to try to throw at you. And you got to understand the repercussions of whatever it is that you do, whatever form you file. If you form one of their files, you just guess what? You just gave them authority, didn't you? Okay? See, I deny it all. And I say the only thing is they want to go pro with you. You have that proof of claim. Judges are not going to allow that case unless there's a way for them to get enough smoke into that courtroom that they can hide behind and make a claim, well, I did this because of that. If it's solid, then you know, then they can figure a way, then they'll find you guilty and you're going to pay the piper. But if they can't find a place to hide, they're going to push for have the case go thrown out. That's what's going to happen.
Well, wouldn't that information report be their claim? Wouldn't that be their proof of claim, except for you didn't sign it, but somebody reported?
No. A proof of claim is when they came out after me for $130,000, whatever it was, okay, well, that's just a number on a check. What does that mean? Does that whole check, you know, that money was to rebuild something from a client. What is it going to rebuild itself? The material is going to come onto the site for free, and I'm going to have free laborers out there putting it up, and then you know I'm not permitted to make a profit on that. I mean, they just come at you for whatever number they found someplace on you, unless you've been reported on.
Well, they came out after you because the insurance company sent them a notice that said, John received this check in this amount.
Well, let's not get into too many details, but yes, that is true. But the bottom line is that whole check is not profit. And why would the whole check, if it was profit, be also tax? What am I paying, 100% tax?
I understand.
You see, but the point of the whole matter is, okay, is that they just come out with a number that they cannot defend. What are they going to do, pull the check and say, hey, here's the proof of claim? Well, what is that for, you know? You tell me. I don't have to speak. You tell me what that's for. How do you get that? They cannot defend that. Just because a check went out to somebody, that's not the amount you need to pay your taxes on anyway. But that's what they chase you for because that's the pressure they put you under. okay, go give me a proof of claim. And the proof of claim must be notarized. It's a notarized form. They cannot file it without a notarizing. Someone has got to stick up their hand and say, I swear this is all true, and give all the details and the numbers and all the information to come up with a number to say, this is what you owe. This is the proof of our claim. They cannot do it. They will not do it. They don't even know how to do it. Okay? They also have to have fiduciary authority over you, which means someone has to take control of your property. Okay? Take control of your property, have fiduciary authority. That person has to be an appointed trustee. That's what fiduciary authority is all about. Someone who's dealing with your issues as a trustee. They have to get their authority somewhere. Who gave the authority of my being to someone else? What judge put a trustee out there and made a decision to give that person the fiduciary authority? You see, they can't do any of those two things. So why fight this battle on any other level? Why get into any other details? Keep the smoke out of the courthouse. Don't look at very simple. Do you want to fight? Or do you want to win? It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than what I'm saying. And anybody puts another little thing in that, you're just making it more difficult, and you're potentially putting enough smoke into that court that maybe the judge will feel comfortable to say, you're going to jail. We're taking your house. We're doing this. Or we're doing that. Whatever it is he wants to do. It's very simple. KIS. Now, again, I'm not arguing the fact that there aren't any people out there that are doing some amazing things and using the system against them and tying them up and twisting them up. But remember a couple of things. Number one, they're twisting one group of people up, not the whole system. You may walk into a courtroom and deal with another judge and another prosecutor and another tax guy, whatever it is, and they see it differently, and they can turn this whole thing around for things that the other ones didn't see. So you don't know what's going on there, number one. Number two, if it's something that's coming up into the government constantly, over and over and over again, you know they're trying to figure a way to close the gap. They may even have to write some more legislation to close that gap. Or maybe they'll formulate a process using, because they got 10,000, more than 10,000, but last, when I originally started looking, it was 10,000 pages in U.S. 26. Okay, there's a lot of stuff in there they can go and play with and say, yeah, let's pull this tool out, let's pull that tool out. Yeah. Does anyone here or anyone of these people teaching, do they know all of that stuff? Do they understand it all? Because I don't. But again, why make it so complicated? It's a unalienable right issue, the right of due process. Why get any more involved? Why play with fire? Why think that you're smarter than them? Why play a chess game that you could lose? And how smart and how good a chess player are you? You know, I've met lots of people I play chess with here or there, and they say, oh, I'm good, this, that. But they're not good. They think they're not good. I'm telling you, they're not good. Yeah. I speak to myself first also. I'm not that good. So why am I going to make those battles? Why am I going to take that chance? Why am I going to think I'm so smart? Yeah. Do I want to fight or do I want to win? I want to win and get out of here. I don't want to deal with the battle. I don't want to deal with the fight. Make it short and sweet. Due process, end the subject, nothing else to talk about. It's not there. Throw it out. Now, look, don't think you don't have to get a little educated to do this, because you do. You need to, again, you know, take our civics course, totally free. Understand who you're going up against. Take our civics course. You want to understand who you're going up against, take our civics course. Take a constitutional course. You know, it's not the most in-depth one, but we're working on another one to get a little more in-depth. But it's good enough. It's going to give you a good it's a start, okay? And we have a lot of other stuff out there. But take those courses, and then with that, go take the Juris Dictionary. If you're going to write papers and you want to understand the process and the paperwork and how things work in the courts and what a claim is, and a lot of this stuff is statutory, so you got to think a little bit about this and realize the statutory part of this process you really don't have to get involved with, because really the bottom line, to walk into a court, take a piece of tissue paper and a pencil, write it right on tissue paper, get it signed and notarized, and say, here's my affidavit. That's the only thing necessary to open up a prima facie prima facie, what's the word I'm looking for? Prima facie case, I guess. No, that's not right. Anyway, the only thing necessary to open up a court case is a prima facie affidavit. I know I'm getting that wrong. I don't know why I'm twisting that in my mind. But nevertheless, let me make it simpler, okay? The only thing you need to open a court case is a sworn statement. Civil case or a criminal case. And by the way, it's the same courtroom, okay? But, it's contract or not. But the bottom line is you just need an affidavit. That's all you need. But they're not going to adhere to that, okay? And by rights, you should fill out the papers properly. You should do the right forms, okay? So go educate yourself. This is not difficult stuff. There's nothing wrong with going along with the rules of the court as long as they're constitutional. There are some of the rules I won't abide by, and I won't accept, and I won't participate with. And I'll call it for what it is. It's a fraud, okay? But I've never had to deal with those issues. I'll use their basic idea. I'll show them that I've got a cause of action, what my cause of action is. I'll fulfill the required requirements to make the cause of action. They got a list of causes of actions, but that's not all of them. You can make your own up. You know, all you have to do is prove that you've been damaged. Okay, that's a cause of action right there. Just got to make that point. But, you know, if you go in and you go in after someone for a contract violation, you can read up and jurisprudence, jurisdictionary has all that stuff. Cause of actions, they'll tell you. You got to meet A, B, and C, okay? And then you go through and make sure that when you write your papers, you cover A, you cover B, and you cover C, okay? This is really, really simple stuff. They have trained us to believe that we can't do it, that we're not smart enough. They have trained us to believe that we have to have a PhD or something in these things. We have to become a lawyer and then spend 10 years working for another group before you can go out and practice or whatever they have. I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying, I'm just speaking. They have all these requirements. Okay, you can go through 10 years between your education and working with other lawyers, and then you go off on your own or whatever the case may be. Some people are brighter, they can go quicker, I don't know. But the bottom of the line, it's all a bunch of bullshit. That's all it is, and you don't have to know all that stuff. You can learn all this stuff in 90 days. All this stuff in 90 days. So anybody could do it, and they could do it now, and they should do it now. Now, some people, you got to remember, some people are quicker than others to pick things up and they can respond quicker. And, you know, other people may take 120 days or maybe even longer. But look, we all need to educate ourselves to be able to defend ourselves in these courts and to be able to protect our liberties. If we don't understand these things, you can't protect your liberties. So we got to figure this out. You got to figure this out. Let's play ball. I have no problems with their paperwork. I like the way they do their paperwork. I'll do it that way, too. Again, you'll figure it out. Take the courses and do it right. But remember, do you want to fight or do you want to win? Why fight the issues when you can take them right out and prevent them from coming forward? They don't have the authority. And by coming forward, they are violating your unalienable right of due process. That's all you got to go to. You don't need anything else. You don't have to defend the amount of money they're talking about. You don't have to defend yourself against all these accusations. You don't have to, any of those. All that disappears when they're not giving you due process and they're violating it. Plus, now you have a right of collecting your damages. Make sure you have a good wherefore clause. All right. Anything else?
Yes, there are two more questions and a statement from one of our members who we filed a non-judicial foreclosure for. First question is, what else should you do when you've entered the grand jury documents received to the courts and to the sheriff's office? That means her local courts and sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you have to hope that they got the guts to do the right thing, especially the sheriff. We've had a sheriff say, well, that may be the law, but I'm doing what the court's telling me. A sheriff saying that. Can you believe that? You know, I mean, that's how – look, Thornton has made the point many times. There's nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action. And that's what we're dealing with, a whole bunch of ignorance in action. And when a sheriff is ignorant – now, maybe you better consider moving to another county or work to get rid of that sheriff and get someone else in there if they're that ignorant, okay? But nevertheless, okay, you know, you bring your paperwork, you do the filings, and hopefully the sheriff's going to do the right thing. You can try to educate him and so on, but maybe he just doesn't want to listen or she doesn't want to listen. Okay, you can do the same thing in the courts, and they're going to back off and not do anything and go forward with your case no more until this case is finished with, and they're not going to do it. Okay, remember, the nonjudicial foreclosure is really when we respond with a show cause on behalf of the petitioner, okay? That's what we respond with, a show cause on behalf of the petitioner. They defaulted. Now it's a matter of getting the administrator of the court, which is the magistrate, because we can take it to the clerk, but we're not going to take it to the clerk. We're going to take it to the administrator of the court. We're going to take it to the magistrate and make that magistrate sign the paper. Now, we haven't gotten to that point yet to be able to force this magistrate to sign the paper, but this magistrate is extremely quiet, has not said a thing. And it took a judge to come into the case to just try to shut it down. He didn't do it. I perceive he didn't do it because he knew he'd be at risk. That's what I think. These judges that are given the powers, the chief judge, that kind of thing, that's because they're risk takers. And they're willing to do things. Maybe they got something big on them anyway. You better do it, otherwise we're going to expose you, this, that, and the other thing. I don't know. However all that works, I don't know. Evil, a lot of stuff going on in the evil realms, you know. But anyway, look at this judge, this magistrate has not stepped outside of his bounds to think he's a judge, has not moved to close this case down. But we have, and we've been putting some pressure on him, but we haven't put the big pressure yet. We're about ready to put the big pressure, which he will be considered for an indictment next. And maybe that's what it's going to take for him to finally do what he has to do. We have sent papers in here there for his signature, but he hasn't signed them. He's just remained silent. Okay? So it's a pressure game. And that's why we continue to file. And that's why we continue to go forward. And we'll do everything we have to do. And from time to time, we will do an indictment, even though we know it's not going to be executed right away. We'll do an indictment, but it's necessary. And we'll do a lot of researching, preparing for indictments, like these reports we put up online on one on 9/11, one on what's his name, LaVoie Finnegan, okay? And we're going to do some others, and we're going to continue to put the pressure on the pressure and the pressure. And if we don't have it in us to endure and to continue, then shame on us. We need to understand that this strategy we're using works. The question is, how long does it take to work? How long are we willing to wait and to continue? How long? You know, we've had lots of members over the years that have come and gone. We have a lot of members that are still with us. We got a lot of members constantly joining us. But nevertheless, you know, when people get tired and, this ain't going to work, well, you've given up, you know. It's going to take time. It took us 5 years to get where we're at. I don't think it's going to take us another 5 years to complete what we need. I do not think that at all. But is it going to take a month? I don't know. Is it going to take another year? I don't know. Could it happen tomorrow? Sure, it could happen tomorrow. Now, we've got pressures going in different directions, too. We got pressures, believe me, that I don't know if people really understand the pressure we have put on Jeff Sessions. We have put huge, huge pressure on that man. That man, as far as we're concerned, at this point in time, is guilty easily, clearly, of subversion because the knowledge we've given him and he has failed to act. That's huge, okay? We've copied the president, which we perceive has put some pressure on Sessions. Let's get things done in the court here because you're just sitting on your rear end. You're sitting on your hands here. You know, I think that that's what's happening. I think Sessions is on his way out on the one hand. I think he's being pressured to stay in because he's one of them. He's not one of us. I don't perceive him as being one of us at all. Never did. Always saw him as a lawyer, you know, and for the status quo, he's not one of us. Okay? If he was, he would have moved already. They got something on the guy. Anybody who comes to power in those levels, they got something on him. That's why so many politicians are going up against Trump. They're being forced to do that. Why? Because they got something on them. Nobody in their right mind, really, especially in the Republican Party, should go up after Trump. Nobody. To understand that he's got the people behind him. He's very popular. Don't believe he's 30%. That's BS. I got bridges to sell. Anybody who believes that, I got a bridge to sell. Because this guy is popular anywhere he goes. He draws crowds and people roar at what he has to say. And he knows what he's doing, and he's saying all the right things, and he's doing all the right things. But then you get the other people on the other end. Oh, he's not doing enough. Well, he should be doing this, and he should be arresting that. Well, look it. You know, you can't just walk in and there's a lot of battles going on, especially that he has to deal with. And he's got to get all of his, all of his things in a row and be prepared. He's got to make sure he's not being stabbed in the back by the enemy who he thinks is his friend, okay? And this is what I think he's doing right now. You know, I think he's cleaning house, and I think he's doing all the necessary things and getting more and more people behind him before he makes the big moves. There's a lot of big moves he needs to make. And it could take a year, it could take 2 years, it could take 3 years, it could take his second 4 years to do it. But, you know, we got to give him credit. Same thing here with National Liberty Alliance, with the grand jury, shall I say. Same thing here. We have to have patience and endurance. And if you don't have the endurance to continue to race all the way to the end when you know what we are doing is the right thing, and you walk away from doing the right thing, not only shame on you, woe is you. And that's just the natural law is going to put woe upon you. God's going to put woe upon you because you knew what to do and you didn't do it. This is no different. This is the big stage here. We have to help people and save people as best we can. And we do that by just doing the right thing. And working, you know, to put the pressure on those who are doing the wrong thing. There are a lot of people up there that are doing the wrong thing, and they're doing it because they're being pressured more on the other side than our side. And when our pressure overtakes the pressure on the other side, that's when we win. And that's just a matter of time. That's all that is. Did I get off base on this? Did I answer that question, Jan?
Yeah. The second question from this person says, the person that put the letter on my door was a broker who purchased my home. Now he's trying to evict me as a tenant and to pay him money for my stay. Is this legal? I'm not a renter.
Absolutely
I'm the original owner.
The only person that can throw you out of that house is the sheriff. Remember that. Only the sheriff can throw you out. Anybody else comes in, you could ignore them, lock the door, don't answer the door, and so on. There's nothing they could do about it. They're trying to get you to give up by leaving your house and thinking you got to because he put a date on it or something. You'll be out in 3 days. Whatever. It's all BS. Now, the sheriff can throw you out. Now, let's not look at this as part of their games. Once they transfer the ownership of that house into them, and they move it into a third party is what they do it, which is really them anyway. It's all them. You know, this is all a con, a sham, a fraud. Okay, once they move the ownership over to themselves, they're going to try like hell to get you out. They're going to send you notices. They're going to do this. They're going to send that. But it may take them a year. It may take them 2 years to get that name changeover. It's a process that they are very patient with, and they patiently go through, and at the end they get their spoils, okay, which is your home. And they got the patience. Why shouldn't we have the patience? We got righteousness on our side. They don't. They got money on their side. But anyway, they go through this process. Once they get that name change over, because he wants to deal with you as a tenant, because once that name change is over, now he's going to deal with you as a tenant. And he's going to take you to the town court, the village court, the city court, the local court, the court that shouldn't even be there. They're going to take you to that court. And they're going to say, this person is a tenant, and they owe us a lot of money. We want to evict them. And so on. They're not going to tell them that you own the house and they're trying to get you out. They own the house. They're the and you're the tenant, and they're evicting you. And the judge is going to go along with them because they always do. And the sheriff has no choice but to act on the order of the court. Well, actually, he shouldn't even act on the order of this court. It's an unconstitutional court. the sheriff is a constitutional officer. He should say, "I don't see due process here. Take it to the state Supreme Court or the county court, if your county court has the constitutional authority and is a court of record, which you can find out in your constitution, your state constitution." We found it out in New York Constitution that county courts here in New York are courts of record. So it's a constitutional court. The sheriff should have enough knowledge, which they do not. Nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action, right? Ignorantly taking your home away, fraudulently participating, and the sheriff doesn't even know it, okay? But he should. That's his problem. He took on the job. He raised his hand and swore to obey and uphold that Constitution. Well, if he's going to swear, did he lie when he took the oath, or did he lie after he took the oath? Look, it doesn't matter. How can you raise and swear to something you don't understand? Okay? And we will make sure that all sheriffs become sheriffs have to understand the Constitution. That's one of the other things we have to work on here at National Liberty Alliance. And we prepared a lot of stuff on this. We can run a paper very quickly in a day or two once we get to that point. We can put a nice book. We've already pretty much got a book together anyway on that to educate the sheriff on what he needs to do and what he can't do. But here's the bottom line. That town court is not due process, not a court of record, doesn't have the power to fine or incarcerate or take your things. Does not have that power. Yet because people believe they got the power, they get away with it. When you stop believing, when the people stop believing in the masses, then they lose their power, they fall away, they're gone. But until then, ignorance prevails. So they got the power, they're going to take it. But the sheriff should know that's not a court of record. They don't have that power to take away your things. Then they should turn to that court and reject that court's paperwork, say, "No, this is not due process. And if you want me to go take this house away from this person, you go right down there to the county court, if the county court in your state is a court of record, or the state in New York, it's what's called the New York State Supreme Court, the County of Dutchess, New York State Supreme Court, and the County of Orange, and so on. Every county has a New York State Supreme Court. It's one court. It's just the location in every county, that's all. So go to the Supreme Court, the State Supreme Court, do your due process, take it away from them legally, and I will go down and take that home away for you." They can't do it. That's why they're using the town courts. That's why they're using the village courts. Look, nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action. And the question is, do you want to win or do you want to fight? Make it a federal case. Look, people should be able to do this on their own. They shouldn't even need us to do it for them. We're doing it for two reasons. Number one, compassion, trying to help people. And number two, we're building a case of RICO. So we compile these cases, more and more cases into our case and go after these people. We're proving RICO. We're proving conspiracy. We're proving all kinds of things. Okay? So that's why we're doing it. But anyone could defend themselves and get their home and prevent all this from happening by making a federal case over it. Look at this non-judicial foreclosure is an in rem process. You got to understand that. Take it into federal court. I already explained how that works. Rewind the tape. Go back to 40 minutes into the call and get the details on that in rem process. But before you do that, I wanted to also tell you on the other end, just don't think that you know a few things and go in and do it. Take the course. Understand the paperwork. Read the rules, the federal rules, okay? And it's not that much stuff. Most of it is irrelevant to what your needs are. But take notes, go through it, and deal with it. And be very careful to really look at the words very carefully on in rem, because you'll find it in there in the federal courts. And you'll find it in the federal rules on the law of the sea, okay, because it's in there also. Law of the sea is in there, how that process works. And then you'll find, if you carefully read through this, how they move it over into the law of the land. And then they play some really silly games. They'll make rules in there. If you don't bring it up within 15 days of your first hearing, you lose your right to go forward. And that's a rule. And people say, "Well, I got to obey the rule." No, you don't have to obey that rule. That's a fraud. That's a fraudulent rule. But nevertheless, why battle that? Why wait to make your argument? Go in. Do you want to win or do you want to fight? Why would you argue anything else other than the fact that you're not getting due process, they don't have the authority, leave me alone. Sheriff, protect my rights. Federal court, rule on my rights. That's where it does everything. It's always the same thing. Any other questions?
Yes, well, there's a statement that goes with those two questions that says, U.S. Bank stated the grand jury documents isn't a legal document and will not respond. The sheriff's office stated that there's nothing they can do and that the documents weren't legal documents. He even stated that he went on Pacer.com and that my case number is not there. Therefore, it's not a legal case. He went on to state that the only way an eviction can be stopped is if the grand jury communicated with the courthouse and or judge, or there's nothing they could do and eviction would proceed. He stated that if my case was under another case number, they needed to know. Otherwise, there's nothing they could do.
Okay.
He advised me to contact the judge, which is the same judge that's on the documents. He said a lot. He also stated the grand jury, sovereigns of the court, we the people, has no judicial standing in the court. So I asked him if he was sure about that, and he said yes.
Okay. Well, I'll repeat my statement I've made numerous times here. I'll repeat it one more time. Nothing more dangerous than ignorance and action, and you're seeing it right here, ignorance and action. And that's what we're up against, and it gets back to pressure. That's where it gets back. There's more pressure on them to break the law than there is on them to obey the law. We have to make our pressure greater than their pressure so that they obey the law out of the fear of the law. You know? Look, there's a principle in the Bible, the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom and understanding. That's where it all begins. And why would we possibly fear God? Because of the law. How do we usually find God? Because of the law. We're doing wrong things. We're doing immoral things. We're constantly, when we do wrong, we ignore God. We ignore the fact that we're doing wrong. And we keep searing our conscience, okay, and getting more and more into sin. But one day, when you finally face that deal, now, of course, your relationship with God changes to a different direction. Now it becomes a father-son relationship in opposed to, you know, a fearful relationship. But look, when I was growing up, I feared my parents because I knew I can get a whooping. And if I'm doing the wrong things, I know I'm going to get a whooping, okay? Maybe they don't do those things these days, but of course, that's another problem. But fearing your parents because you're going to whoop them when you know you're doing wrong, there's nothing wrong with that fear. That is a very, very healthy, healthy fear. Everyone needs that healthy fear of the consequences in life for doing the wrong thing. Common law puts that fear. I love common law. I caress for common law. I want common law. And why? Because it puts us into a place where we can live and have our liberties and not have a concern of people, you know, out of control. Okay? But there's a fear. If you have a greed and you want to go rob a bank because you want money, you better have that fear, and you will have that fear. And if you get caught, you're going to pay that consequence. But in any event, that's a healthy thing. You need it. What was the last part of that question? Give me a little piece of that because I kind of forgot what I'm trying to answer here, Jan.
Well, we're just commenting.
Give me the last couple
comments.
Of sentences, huh?
You were just commenting on her comments, which were basically that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So the bottom line is this. That's what the judge says. He says, she said. You go find the truth, okay? Now, we do know we have a problem with the docket thing, okay? I have to get up to Pacer, and maybe that's the next thing we need to deal with, start going after the removal of papers in the court. We have been filing papers. Nothing has returned. Nothing. And we made it clear that they need to file it. That means a judge has to take it out. I think the clerks are filing it. I think the judge is too afraid to take it out. And he should be. He better be. It's 20 years in jail. And I'm sure someone's listening in on us. So it's 20 years in jail, guys. So let them take it out. But now it's time to go and do a report and an accounting, shall I say, on all the papers we filed. And make sure that they're all in there. Okay? They may have a sign up, case closed. But you'll have more. If they're obeying the law, they have more papers coming in after that case closed. This guy, every time we send a paper, sends another paper back saying, warning, 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 Will Robinson, danger, danger. You know, this case is closed. Keep sending it in anyway, because it's not closed. We've already rendered him. Look, he's been indicted. This guy's already been indicted. He has no power, no authority. He frauded the court. He lied. He said things that were not true about us, and we corrected him, and he still doesn't take the correction. So now, again, I'm going to get back to the same thing, okay? Well, let me add some things, and people already know this. Liberty is not free. Freedom is not free. Liberty is not free. It comes at a cost, and it takes a lot of work. We're working to get our liberty. We've lost so much of it. It's a battle. You either join the battle or you don't. And woe is you if you know about it and don't join the battle, because you're going to have to give an accounting of that at some point in time. Because for one reason or another, your maker revealed this to you and gave you the knowledge, and you now what have you done? You decided to do the right thing or the wrong thing? Ignoring it is the wrong thing. To watch other people suffer, you may say, well, you know, this is all true. I see, yeah, this, that, and the other thing, but I'm doing okay. Okay? Well, now you're letting other people suffer, and you have the duty to assist other people. But remember, when they came for the Jews, nobody did anything. Okay? Then they came for you. You know? It's only a matter of time. They're coming for all of us. All these morons out there taking down these statues. They took down the Lee statue, for instance. I hear that, well, I saw them deface Washington, and I hear some other things going across the nation. I don't know. But nevertheless, all these people doing this, you know, they want to be heard. They want their rights, but they're not going to give you your rights. These people are Nazis. They should be dealt with as criminals. I don't know why they haven't been arrested and forced to pay for the damages that they've done. Okay, but nevertheless, this is the ignorance right here in action in its worst case. Chaos in the streets. And these people have no clue on what liberty is. They have no clue that at some point the hand of suppression is going to come upon them so hard, and then they'll realize and understand what they have done. And it'll be too late at that point. Because they're going to come for you too, is the point. We're all going to be put down into the slavery. All right, next question. Anything else?
No more questions, I guess. Robert has a Western report next.
All right.
Yeah, just a little bit today. Jury in Nevada is back in deliberation. They had been out since Thursday. And they had a couple of questions. One of the questions came up last Thursday, and then one this morning. And the judge would not read the questions so that anybody could hear them. So nobody really knows for sure what the questions were. And then the jury foreman reported two of the jurors, number 6 and number 9, were refusing to participate in the deliberations. And also, it seems that they were not truthful on the questionnaire for jury members. It turns out
saying that number 6 and number 9 is refusing to go into deliberate? Is that what you just said?
They went into the deliberation room, but they're refusing to participate.
Okay, so go ahead. I think I know what's going on, but go ahead, finish up what you're saying. You may already know. But.
Well, they one of them, she claimed that she misunderstood the question, but she claimed, you know, as it turns out, she had been an officer of the court for 18 years.
Mm. And
Yeah, she lied about that. And then the other one, as a youngster, had had a gun held to her head. And she lied about that.
Who held a gun to her head?
One of the I'm not sure whether it was number six or number nine, but the jurist. And it was her brother that that had held the gun to her head. And that came out in a fit of anger. And so
I want to make a short statement, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I want to make this short statement, and this is so important. These two people can be indicted and should be indicted, and we can indict them if we had people who would do affidavits, if we can get the transcripts of the court. Do the people out west want to work with us to get justice, or they just want to fight? I don't know, but go ahead.
Well, anyway, the defense asked for a mistrial over it,
of course it was
denied.
Yeah, and that's going to come up. Look, at some point in time, if they're not going to be able to move that jury, because I could see what's going on right now. But let me let you finish. I shouldn't interrupt you.
Well, the judge made the decision that none of this really had any bearing on their ability to be unbiased, and so she sent them back into deliberation.
Right. Well,
in other words, she didn't want to lose them.
Yeah, my opinion on that is she's just getting them back in. Because the bottom line is those two people are going to trip that up to cause what they will call, a mistrial, okay, to bring it all back together. If they think that they're going to get not going to get their conviction off this, then that's what they're going to use, and they're going to pull this whole trial again and get it start all over again.
Well, are
these people, do we know if any of these people are coming to our meetings? Is there if anybody is in here that is coming to our meetings that is from out there that could do some affidavits, get in our queue, star six. Go ahead.
Well, we're trying to get Andrea to start coming into the meeting, a Monday night call, and hopefully get some affidavits out of her.
Have them download tonight's meeting, because tonight's meeting we talked about a lot of different things that I think is really powerful for them to hear, and hopefully our reasoning out to them to work with us, maybe they'll get that call and decide to give us a try here to see what we can do. We're not promising them a miracle. We're not promising justice tomorrow, but look at. Justice and injustice, it's the same race over and over again through history. You know, we're right to the tortoise and the hare. That's what it is. And so things are moving slow and things are moving. But we're going to win the race in the end. We're going to win the race in the end. We just have to believe it and step up. But if no one steps up,
we need that help. We need that help. We have members in Nevada, one of them right there in Vegas, close to the courthouse, and we've been talking to her, hoping that she can help us, and she sounds like she wants to help us, but I don't know what's going on.
Ask them to listen to tonight's download tonight's program. For a matter of fact, download it and get it to them. If you can, or get the direct link to this one and get it to them. Say, listen to the program that we had last night, because I think a lot of what we've been speaking about tonight will be very helpful for them. And also I'll plead to them to bring their papers to us so that we can do something with it. We could do a show cause and force this judge to show by what authority do they think that they can violate everybody's unalienable rights. There is so much to list out here. Okay, that we can go after this judge for, and we can even indict this judge, and maybe that's the time for that right now, even though the indictment is going to sit in limbo for a while. Look at people get indicted all the time, and cases don't go to court for years sometimes, maybe a year or more. Look at how long they took to get the case over in the wildlife preserve going. Look how long they took the Bundy case to go. And they can even extend it even longer. So, hey, just the fact that we have one indictment sitting around And it's been sitting around, I don't know, 2 months maybe, a month and a half, whatever it's been. I don't remember.
Well,
it doesn't mean that it's not going to be dealt with.
There's two people that could do us a world of good with affidavits if we can just get them to do it. Now, Andrea, you know, Mrs. Parker, she takes detailed notes from court each and every day, and she could write a zillion affidavits if we can just get her to do it. And also Readout News, Sherry, is there.
Well, Readout News, are they doing, so they're writing papers on it.
Well, they're writing stories for the Readout News and right. Keeping everybody updated.
We need to get links to these stories. If someone can do that and get it to us, and we can use those stories, because we can use news stories as also proof. Okay.
Well, that's something that we can do, because I mean Sherry's in there in court every day and writing the story every day and keeping everybody updated through her newspaper.
Uh-huh. Well, again, you know, those things are not going to win the war. People need to understand that. Okay.
Right.
You know, we get back to the same thing. We've all heard this, especially those of us that have been working in the Liberty groups. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Okay?
But that's,
we've already shown. They're at the point they ignore the news.
Those
they
people,
totally ignore it. Yeah.
Those people have firsthand accounts of everything that's happening in that courthouse. So.
But they don't bring it to us.
But they haven't brought it to us yet. Now, Ollie is working on Andrea. And so I have.
Is Ollie here?
Ollie is, yeah. They're friends.
Mute him. He might want to pipe into you, but go ahead, Robert.
Well, they're friends, and we've talked about it, and he's working on her. And she would be a gold mine for affidavits with the notes that she takes. So we are working in that direction.
Okay, so three things we can pursue. And anybody out there that wants to just pick this up and do it and bring it to us, you know, bring it to Jan. Don't email it to anyone. Bring it to Jan.
Yeah.
But anything, you know, if you're out that way or you know somebody or whatever, and you can maybe even just go out and get all the roundout reports on this court case and just get us all the links for all those stories. We need that, okay?
All right. Well,
we also need transcripts. I hear that someone's got transcripts, but they're not sharing it with us. I mean, look, they've already paid for it. Just give us a copy. It's probably digital anyway. Give us a copy.
Well, we know the attorneys have them, so, and some of the, and these attorneys are talking to the supporters outside.
Well, maybe someone could get to the attorney
and
to
so,
get it to us.
And so hopefully Andrea might be able to do that.
So we need transcripts. We need any news stories that are telling the truth about this story, what's going on. And we need affidavits. And we can do something. Again, it may take a while, and the case may come and go, and these people may go to jail, but, you know, we're back to the tortoise and the hare, and if people don't have the patience and the endurance, then you don't deserve liberty. None of us deserve liberty if we don't have the patience and endurance to fight for it and take it. Look at what we are doing. The method we are doing is a proven method. This is not a maybe or maybe not. No, it is a proven method. But one of the most important parts of the whole process, once you stack these things up and put the pressure, is endurance. And that's what we need. Sorry for interrupting you so much, Robert.
That's all right. I'll work on the Readout News, getting those to jam.
Right.
And I'm
and
sure
anybody
Ollie
else
will,
that just wants to step up and do anything if they can, just get it to Jan. But get it.
And I'm sure that Ollie will continue with Andrea as he can and try to get her cooperation there.
Okay. All right.
And I'll work on IVM too.
All right, Robert. Are we done? Anything else?
Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay. Jan, anybody else? Calling Jan. Unmute yourself, maybe.
He seems to disappear off the board.
Yeah, I'm looking for him. I don't see him in here, so he may have fell off. Okay. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to move over to Brent now. Gerard, I'm going to set things up to move over to Brent, and then when Brent is finishing, maybe you take controls.
Okay.
Okay. So Brent is the author of The Excellence of the Common Law. He's got a website, commonlawyer.com. And Brent is going to continue to speak, I believe, on the Declaration of Independence and moving into the Constitution. Brent, star 6 to unmute yourself, probably. Oh, I see him. Oh, yeah, he's muted. Let me try to unmute you, Brent. Star 6 if you can't do it, but I'll try it. He's not unmuting for me. I see you're in on a phone. Up on your little box or something, there should be a mic, and you probably have an X across it. You've been muted. If you can unmute yourself. Wonder why it's not highlighted. His maybe Jan. Jan's not here, though. All right, I'll tell you what. When Brent, when you figure out how to unmute yourself, because I can't do it from my end, I don't know what the problem is, but when you get yourself unmuted, just break into Gerard. Meanwhile, I'll move things over to Gerard. Gerard, we're set up in Q&A. And if Jan comes back in, anybody notices, maybe make mention to Jan, and maybe
Wasn't Brent in the queue before?
Yeah, well... Maybe that's why. Maybe he's in the queue. Maybe that's causing a problem.
I don't see him, though. But he could look at it. If he gets in the queue, I could probably unmute him.
Well, he's right here. I see him right now. He's a host. He's got a host button on him. He's got his phone on. He's coming in on a phone. He's been in here for about an hour. And you can look over and see his mic has been X'd out, but it's not bright. You know, it's dim. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
And I don't know how to fix it.
Let me see. I don't see him.
Well, click on roll so all of the hosts come to the top. Go to the top and click on roll.
Click on roll. Roll, okay.
And now all the hosts should pop to the top. Scroll up to the top. All the hosts should be on top. And he's read in the list of hosts.
I don't see any names in there, though. Oh, he's not there. I see Jan's there.
Yeah, I finally got
Jan
back
just came in.
Ollie is there. He's in the queue. He's number one.
Yeah, well, but I'm trying to unmute Brent. Do you see that he's muted?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't even see him.
He's right above Jan. Let me refresh my roles. Yeah, he's still here.
Oh, here he is. Yeah, okay.
Jan, do you know why that he's not highlighted, but there is an X on it?
He was earlier.
Someone's hitting pauses. Is that what they're doing?
How about now?
No, he's still muted. I can see it right across his mic. I don't know what to say. All right, well, look, once he figures that out, or if Jan's able to figure that out, he'll come in and speak. But meanwhile, why don't you move into Q&A, keep things rolling. I'm passing controls over to you. I'm going to go silent. I'm kind of a little sick today. I wasn't even going to be here this long, but I might disappear. But anyway, go right ahead. You got it. I'm muting myself out for right now.
Okay, Ollie, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Finally. Okay. Now, if you remember... What's happening with that jury is the same thing that happened to the jury up in Portland. That jury is assuming authority. Now, a lot of the questions of that jury has been about court procedure, not about evidence, not about court procedure. They have found the plants that they are trying to weed them out.
Ollie, I want to just interrupt you for a second. I just want to ask you a question. There were 12 jurists, obviously. How many spare jurors do they have? Do they have at least two spare wheels?
I think so, yes.
So the judge shouldn't be able to get away with calling it a mistrial because two juries are jurors are misbehaving. They can be gotten rid of, and the other two can fill in. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what they done in Portland. I think they brought in two alternates. But anyway, that gives us encouragement because, like I say, that was what went down in Portland. But they've got a tougher judge down there. Now, affidavits. I've been trying to get affidavits out of there. Me and Robert have been trying to get affidavits, working on them people down there for a year or more. Now, here's the problem. When you've got somebody emotionally involved in a trial, got an emotional stake in it, it is very easy for a sime or somebody to walk up and whisper in their ear, the people's grand juries are illegal. They have no teeth. Affidavits are a waste of time. Okay, now, another thing is these kids, they're like farmers at the carnival. They're in that fight. They're in that fight. And that's all they're concentrating on. Luckily, up in Portland, we found Thomas Sewell. He didn't have an emotional stake in the trial. His affidavits were he was operating out of logic. Now another disadvantage to that is, if people are not emotional about a trial, they could care less about what goes on in there. So finding somebody that a core observer that puts out affidavits on a regular basis, they are few and far between. They're like needles in a haystack. I was going to try to get Pandora on again tonight, but I was talking to Robert and said, you know, she did take the day off. Oh, okay, y'all, don't bother then. Let's don't bother. But her and there's two other gals down there that have got an emotional stake in that trial, and they are making very good documents out of that emotion and out of that drive. However, getting an affidavit out of them is almost impossible, really. I have cried, I have begged, I have pleaded. John Lamb, we got John Lamb on here, and I pleaded with him. Me and Robert, we have done everything we can. I would just like to get something rounded up for when the Bundys go in. Their trials come up here in a few weeks. But like I say, getting affidavits out of these people with that's deeply entrenched in the trial emotionally is nearly impossible. And then I have no answers.
Okay, well, let me just state one thing. Then they're in a mode where they want to fight. They don't want to win. They want to fight. And maybe they're looking for revenge and anger and hatred. And if that's in their hearts, maybe they'll never come around to us. But nevertheless, that's the question. Do they want to win or do they want to fight? And see if you can't get them to listen to tonight's program. Because, again, I think we had a lot of conversation here and a lot of information. And maybe they'll realize and see that we're different than the Anna Rich thing. You know, look at all these other things that came out there in order to spoil we the people's power and authority. And of course, they acted out of anger and revenge and hatred. We're not coming that way. We're coming with a sense of honor, with a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy for all. At the end of the day, even the most evil person, at the end of the day, we have a duty to consider mercy. Now, they may not get it, but it must be considered, and it must be a heartfelt consideration. But in any event, hopefully they'll be able to see that we're different. We're operating within the law, within the process and the procedures of the court and of the law, looking for the common law to bring liberty back and to get these people out of their predicament, out of jail. And
okay.
If there's any hope for these people to be brought out of jail, we are one of the very few. You know, there's only one other way that these people can be freed from the burdens that are upon them. There's only two ways, what we're doing, and the second one is a presidential pardon. Because they're going to be found guilty on this one. They are not going to give up on this case. They're going to find these people guilty. And they're going to put them in jail for a long time. And they're already in jail, and they already are suffering, and they're being abused. We may be able to stop that abuse. We certainly could put the light on the case and start to put the pressure, and again, more pressure, not only for the benefit of them and the people who are angry and upset and the families, but for all of us Americans, all of us people who are trying to get justice back into our courts. You know,
okay,
if we're not going to
okay.
work together, we're not going to win. Okay.
Well, let's go down another road now. You reminded me that we need transcripts. Dan Bailey was logged on Facebook, and I've been PMing him, and I'm talking to him right now. He does have the transcripts, and he asked me what for, and I said, NLA, the fight, and he says, call me, 530-528.
Well, don't give his number out. Don't give his number out. Okay, get that to Jan.
I can give it to Jan if Jan wants
right.
to call him. But
and we'll
we,
call.
I,
yeah, we'll
we,
call.
We can,
but here's the thing. Here's the thing. We may be able to do this off. If all of this is in the transcripts, then we can work right off the transcripts.
Yeah.
So get that number to Jan. Jan, let's try to get together tomorrow and give this guy a call. And see, I don't know whether you want to call without me first, and then maybe if he wants to talk and have a conference call.
You remember Dan Bailey, don't you, John? We've
right.
talked, we've had on calls before.
Yeah, I don't recall particularly.
Right, California.
All right, well, let's see. Let's try to get that. See if you can make the call. If you want me on a call, get a hold of me, and we'll get on a call, and we'll try to get this these transcripts. If the transcripts
okay.
are accurate, okay, you know, I don't know how much of this they take off the record. Do you have any idea, Ali?
Well, let me go back a few months. And by the way, I'm still getting hammered by Pacer. They got a credit deal. I'll call me daily. But it's the same transcripts that we were pulling out of the Portland trial and this DeMolyer trial. They're directly off of Pacer. Of course, he's got...
Well, look, at all the information on Pacer is really what's been filed in the court, but the transcripts of what's being spoken in the court, that's what we're looking for.
Okay, well... Yeah, let's talk to him tomorrow.
Okay. All right, we'll do that.
I'll try to set something up, and maybe we can get something going.
All right. Also, you need to talk to Gerard and maybe even me, too. You know, we've been approached to do another TV program or on a weekly basis, actually from two different places, potentially, I think. But one place particularly is the Beacon, Liberty Beacon. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think we should tie you together with them, and because we're going to be doing our own thing, and you know, we need to work this out on how we're going to approach this. Now we're 2 weeks behind on that because we were supposed to make contact 2 weeks ago, but I've been busy. I just haven't been able to do it. But this week, hopefully, maybe we'll make contact. If you could kind of take that ball and push it, and get Gerard, get me, and let's get the people from Liberty Beacon on and see what we're going to do. You should be definitely talking with their TV people. And
yeah. Jared and I was talking about that here a week or two ago, and that you know, we got to jump on that.
Yeah, let's
yes.
let's. I'm asking you to take the bull by the horns on this one and push it through for us, and you know, annoy me, make the call, then call me in, and I'll come in. You know.
Oh, okay. Okay, he just PM'd back and he says, okay, I have day 1 to 14 so far. We'll share a Google folder to you. You will get the invite straight from Google.
Okay, so someone has got to have Google folder, whatever that is, and get a copy onto our computer. We need a downloaded digital copy of the transcripts, and then that has to get to me, and then we can start working on that. Right?
But I just gave my email address. I'll get something going on that.
Right.
I had something else to say, but there's so much stuff going on right now. I get sidetracked. but that's about all I got.
Okay, Gerard.
Okay. Hey, all right. Thank you, Ollie. Hey, Brent's got to unmute himself. That's what the problem is. He's got himself muted, and he's a host, and you can't unmute a host when they're muted. So he's not, I don't know if he's not there, but anyway, I'm going to go to the next caller. I don't know who it is.
Two things that Brent may have to do. I can see he's on a telephone. So if he's got his telephone muted, he's got to unmute that. That potentially may be picked up. But the key thing is he's coming in as a host, so he's got that app open. And if he looks at the app, which should be on the top of his screen, you'll see a little microphone.
Right.
Okay. And if you click, you'll see there's a red line. Let me click on mine. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, it's a red line.
You unmuted.
Yeah, it's a red line, and the mic turns red. So you're muted. Just click that mic, and you should unmute yourself, Brent. So you got to do it.
We okay. can't help you, Brent. We can't throw you the rope. Anyway.
All right. Meanwhile, go ahead. Go forward and finish
the next off. Caller is 5709. Give us your name and your state. Go ahead. You've been unmuted.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
This is Terry in New Jersey.
Hey, Terry.
I just want to expand on something you said earlier with regard to the DUIs. One thing that you should know is that, the breathalyzer is pretty much conclusive, but everything else that they do, these field sobriety tests, are all hocus-pocus and all voodoo, and they're all completely subjective. So, you could be okay, because something similar happened to me when I was driving home from an assignment. I was speeding, got pulled over, the car had been leaking antifreeze, so automatically, he's assuming it's alcohol, we get out of the car, we can see the leaking antifreeze, but I was still subjected to a field sobriety test, which of course they said I failed. So we go back to the police station, and of course I blow a 00, and of course they wouldn't let it go with that, since they went through the trouble of dragging me back there, they had to find something. So they did a test where they urinalysis, and they said, well, it came, and supposedly, I only found out several weeks later it came back positive for a cannabis metabolite. And so that's what they went to town with. And so they basically said I was under the influence of marijuana. And the whole trial was such a farce. And this is the one I told you about where the judge never even entered a plea in this case. And actually, I mean, these people are total morons. The first question the prosecutor asked the so-called drug influence expert, he asked him, what's the first step in a drug influence examination? And this expert says, I don't remember them off the top of my head. I got to look at my notes. And this is the kind of stuff that they're railroading people with, And, of course, where the big money is, once they get them for the DUI, of course, most of these people are going to go out and they're going to drive while suspended, so that adds up too. And they're basically ruining people's lives over bullshit,
Yeah, that's what it's designed to do, and they're doing a good job of it too. So, I don't know.
Well, that's about all I got to say on that. So I'll yield.
Yeah. Okay, and like you said, that stuff is all subjective. It doesn't mean that you're under the influence. Just because they find something in your blood doesn't mean you're under the influence of it, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to start taking hair follicle tests to see if you ever had anything in your system and then hold you accountable? I mean, where does it stop,
Well,
anyway,
that's the other thing. They're not supposed to, arrest you so they can look for evidence of crime,
That's right. You didn't have the problem
they do it anyway.
In the first place, right?
Right.
So anyway, he was on a fishing trip and he made sure he stuck his hook in something. So basically, there was no probable cause to begin with.
And the other thing is, now the judge, you know, wants you to hire a lawyer, and of course, you know, if you
hello.
Yeah, he dropped. He just dropped off. Is he still in the queue?
Yeah, it says he's there. That's weird.
Hello?
Yeah, just go to the next caller and wait and see what happens.
I think the next caller.
I think someone hit the next caller because I just heard the next caller said, hey.
Right, yeah, there's a funny. Terry's in the queue, but who's up now? Who's that?
Hello?
Yes. Who are
hello?
You? Who am I speaking to?
Cindy.
Cindy, okay. Somehow you jumped in there and Terry disappeared, but go ahead, Cindy.
Yeah, Terry's in there too. His mic is open.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on because it's doing stuff by itself, John.
All right.
Now it says thank Terry. You. But Terry looks like, I don't know.
All right, we'll take the next caller, the lady caller. She's
yeah,
still
but
there?
She just, I don't see her anymore. She's gone.
Hit star six again. Get back into the queue, and we'll try to pull you right up. What was her name?
I didn't see a name. There was only a number, and she's gone.
It's Cindy from New York.
Oh.
Cindy from New York. Okay. Oh, is that the 631 number?
She just got back in.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so let's pick her. Yeah, there she goes. She should be unmuted now.
Cindy. Can you hear
me?
There you go.
Here I am. Hi, Cindy.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my question is, why do we have to go to the federal level for rights such as traffic court, which it's a great question tonight. The guy, the caller before, is my very question. Like, they can unhinge your life, you know, just for, you know, silly traffic, whatever, you know. I don't like the way you went from left lane to right lane. You fuck you, and I don't understand the state. Why can't the state? Aren't the states the Equal Protection Clause? Isn't the state supposed to recognize your right to, you know, no search and seizure, all that?
Look at the state can uphold the Constitution if they want to, but if you're fighting the state and they're the judge, jury, and executioner, they can't give you remedy because whether you're pulled in by the town or whatever, it's the state of New York against you. So in order to get redress, you have to go to the federal because it's a violation of your unalienable right, which the state's not going to hold up because they're the ones that got you there. It's the people, they say the people of New York. You have to go to federal because they can't give you redress. Look at what are they going to do? Stick their finger in their eye and poke it out? They're not going to do it. You have to go to federal. That's what people don't understand. Everybody says, "Oh, keep it local." Like what's her name? I'm sorry, the lawyer there. The woman.
Well, what does protection clause say? What is that? Isn't that New York State Constitution Article 8? New York State Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, where they have to recognize your unalienable rights.
Well, absolutely they have to recognize your unalienable rights. Yes, and you can, go through the appeal process in the state to bring it up to a higher court and a higher judge. You definitely can if you want to. But, you know, that takes weeks and months and years and money and this and that. You see,
okay.
under common law, they can be sued collaterally, directly to the Supreme Court. Most people don't know that, and so when you have a state who's got you up on charges, and it is the state, make no mistake about it, it's the state. Now you can go up to a higher judge, and you can appeal, but at that point you're appealing, you're acquiescing to them, you're recognizing their jurisdiction over you by appealing to them and saying, oh, please release me because this is my unalienable right. And they don't have to recognize it if they don't want to, and most of the time they don't. So when you go up to the federal, what you're doing is you're taking it out of the state's control and you're bringing it up to a federal judge who really has the say over the federal constitution. Look, the state constitution has to mirror the federal. And when they violate your unalienable rights, technically, that is a federal issue. It really is. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't get redress from the state. You can. But most of the time, well, I've never found them to do it. Once in a while, you can win an appeals case. But you know what it takes, you know.
Yeah, but bear in mind, they don't have the jurisdiction to make a constitutional decision.
Right.
The United States Constitution. You've got to get into a federal court.
That's right. But they could drop the charges. They could say, oh.
Well, they could obey. They could obey.
They could obey, exactly.
Okay.
But they're not going to. And, right. And what's going to make them? The only thing that's going to make them is that federal judge coming in, right?
Yeah, you're not going to get them to obey. That's the problem.
Anyway, that's why we always say to go to federal. What I mean?
Don't you have to recognize the court? Doesn't the court have to say who they are? I mean, are they an Article III court? Any court?
They've been hijacked.
For instance, are they an Article III court?
No, they've been hijacked.
The
Organic Act of 1871 was the beginning of that hijack, and all of the federal district courts are operating outside of the Constitution. The United States Supreme Court is still operating inside the Constitution, but there's still traitors in that group of justices. They're not justices.
When you go by the parameters of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the fact that no law, no matter what it is, no matter what Congress says, if they go above your right, okay, it's null and void. Even at the state level, I just don't get why the state can trample over you, such as in traffic court. Okay,
because they've been subverted.
Because they're corrupt.
They've been subverted. They're corrupt, yeah.
Okay, so when you're in traffic court, I just want to make sure, you know, like I'm in the right court here.
Traffic court is an unconstitutional court. They have no power or authority. As a matter of fact, the only way that that court can legally stay open, only one way, okay? And first of all, it's illegal to bring people into that court, so that's another problem. The cops stopping people on the road, giving them tickets to make them come into that court to begin with is a violation of your rights. But look, once you're in that court, in order for that court to remain in any legal way, which they broke the law to get you in there to begin with, so that's a problem. I don't know how they're going to solve that one. But once you're in that court, listen to me. Just listen. Once you're in that court, it is incumbent upon the judge to let the people understand this is an administrative court, and the decisions in this court. If you don't want to abide by this court, and you don't want to participate in this court, you can walk out that door right now. And the people could turn around, walk out, and they can't touch them. But that would be if they were operating lawfully. They got to let them know this. You have to agree to participate. That's the fraud.
But when I walk in there, or when I'm forced into, say, traffic court, and I'm like, but I don't understand. You're trying to label me a criminal, and as far as I don't recognize...
Because they're criminals.
I don't recognize the law that you're accusing me of, so I'm actually asking you, Your Honor, what court are you? Because I really don't want to be in the wrong court.
And the judge will respond in some way. The bottom line and the meaning of his response is, it doesn't matter what you say, think, or do, you're in my court, and I'm going to make a decision. Let's move on with the case. And he's going to shut you down. Now, it's not going to happen that way. He's not going to say it that way, but that's what it means. You got to understand, this is not part of our system. This is not part of the judicial process. It's unconstitutional. It violates our unalienable right of due process. And they have no power, they have no authority. And the United States Supreme Court has ruled on this, that they don't have the power to fine or incarcerate nor take away your things. They don't have that power. The only way they can have that power is if you join their club and agree to their decision-making process. And who in their right minds would do that?
No, but that's what I'm telling you. I've read the common law handbook, and there are, you know...
Right, but you can't win in their courts. You can only try to convince them. Listen, you can only try to convince them to obey the law. And if they're going to obey the law, they're going to set you free. But there's very few that you're going to get to obey the law.
But I'm just showing them, but you can by showing, well, I'm guessing. Well, okay, my big question was...
You're not going to win.
How the state can trample all over those and you have to make it a federal case.
The only way to deal with it. The only way to deal with it is to make a federal case. Let me tell you, we have done this so many times for years, and we've been in courts for a year. I know a guy that's been in a court for over a year, going back almost every month, making the same battle, and the court's getting frustrated. He's getting frustrated, but they're not letting them go. They're not going to let them go.
But what is the equal clause about?
Huh?
What is the Equal Protection Clause about?
You don't understand. They're not obeying the Constitution.
Okay.
They're evil. They are evil, and they're out of control. It's a conspiracy across this entire nation in every town, village, and city, in all of our state courts, and even into our federal courts. It is a conspiracy, and the minions of the New World Order are the bar attorneys who are enforcing and making everybody believe. And look at reality is the way one perceives it. And if people perceive that they have the power and the authority to put you in jail, guess what? They got the power and the authority to put you in jail.
I don't think that they do.
Of course they don't.
Level, I don't think they do. I think there's a state level. I think it's impossible that they can trample all over your life.
You haven't been in court then, I perceive, because believe me, I see children taken away, I see elderly taken away, all of people's property, million-dollar, estate taken away and being spent foolishly by all of the lawyers, the vultures sucking in off of that, taken into the court day after day after day after day, destroying the families. I see children being taken away. I see people being put in jail in town courts that don't have the power to fine or incarcerate. I see people being picked up off the streets and brought to jail on statutory charges, which they don't have the authority to do. And it's real. It's happening. And they can't win. They cannot win. Look, that's why we're doing what we're doing. The only way we can defeat these son of a guns is to get everything together in one court case and show and put that pressure on them. Put that pressure. Look at. Remember the Lord when they took the woman who was caught in a very act of adultery, and they expected that the Lord was going to stone her and order her to be stoned, because that's what the law says. The first thing, they only brought the woman. Where was the man? But besides that, what did the Lord do? He was sitting down, and he started writing in the sand. What was he writing in the sand? They all saw their own sins, and they all left one by one. Okay? It's the same thing here. Okay, you have to put their sins in a place where it's seen and they know they're being exposed, and you got to put the pressure and the pressure and the pressure and the pressure. And the pressure has got to be greater on one side than the other side resisting. We need critical mass. We need Jeff Sessions to step up and do the right thing. We need the president to get into a position where he can order him and be able to fight this battle, because it's going to be a huge battle when he makes that move, a huge battle. And we understand why he hasn't done it yet. We know. So, but the thing is that these people are the enemies of liberty. They're the enemies of the Creator. They're the enemies of the people. They're only interested in themselves and their money and their power and their whatever, the authority, everything. That's what they're, the prestige and the money. That's what they're interested in. And they all, that's what we built our jails for. That's where they got to go. We're up against principles and powers in high places.
Principles. That's why traffic court is a very important, lesson. It's not just traffic court.
No, it's not.
No, it's not just traffic court. And
look, this goes down to love. I've lost cases because the judge knew.
For the DMV is obscene. It's totally obscene. They're just collecting off your. You're just a monetary thing.
Right.
To the DMV.
So there's only one way you can potentially win this, and that is to make a federal case about it and deal with it in the federal court. But you need to understand what you're doing and how to do it. That's the only way you're going to be able to potentially win against these people.
I understand.
Okay?
And
that takes time and money, and it may be just easy to give them the $100 and pay the what do you call it, the telling me. I don't want to call it a fee, but.
So you're telling me that there's no remedy at the state level to protect your unalienable.
Absolutely. No process, no remedy on the state level at all. It doesn't. They're not going to take it on, and they're not. They've already been. They're so corrupt. Look at. I was blown away. We've been through all kinds of courts here in New York, and we've been right up into the appellate court, the court of appeals, and we're talking the corruption goes all the way up. There are nine judges that run the entire judicial system. Okay, the entire judicial system, nine of them. And we went after all nine of them. They're all untouchables. And that's when we changed our directions and headed into the federal level. And we're going back after them, those people. We're going to see them another day.
I understand that it's been hijacked, but in a perfect world, is there a remedy?
Well, in a perfect world, you wouldn't need to be looking for remedy because there wouldn't be village courts and town courts. And look at all these courts are money-making courts. There's only one way these courts can remain open and continue open, and that's with code violations. That's how they make their money.
Level at the state level, no remedy.
Well, at the state level, if everyone was doing the right thing, if the people were in power and had the authority and took control, of, which is what we're trying to do, of the judicial process through the grand jury and trial juries by making sure that these juries are not puppet juries, that they understand the power and the authority that they have and the power of nullification. And when they know all that and you put them up, all these rats and cockroaches are going to be hiding under rocks and squirming away into dark corners because we're going to get them and put them in jail.
Okay, so what's the Equal Protection Clause?
But you can't apply it in a corrupt court.
Potentially, the jury should be your redress, potentially, but they don't want to give you a jury trial in a traffic case, even though the Constitution says if it's more than $20, they're supposed to. Because you should be able to bypass the judge with the jury.
Oh, okay.
Your peers, right? I mean, try not to plead in their court and see what happens. You know, when he asks you, do you understand the charges, and you say yes, he feels, okay, so now she's contracted with me. We can move ahead now. Try not to plead. See the twisting that the judge goes through to try to suck you in there.
No, I'm going to say I don't understand them because I'm not subject to them because I'm not
acceptable. You keep saying you don't understand them.
Oh, my God.
A mental evaluation because they'll say she's crazy. She doesn't understand. What you have to say is, I understand you're trying to get me to, I do not wish to contract with you. But even all that language, they don't care because ultimately, like John says, they're going to do what they want to do. And they'll put you in for a mental evaluation and they'll put you up in the psych ward and blow you full of Thorazine or whatever they put into people because that's how they operate when they think that you're dangerous. They'll shut you up like that. Oh, yeah, she was crazy. You see that crazy lady?
Okay, so when you go to the federal level, now you're not crazy.
Well, because
you got to understand something. When you get to the federal level, that judge is going to do the same thing to you, all the other judges, because they're just as corrupt. And they got the only way. The only way to deal with these people is to make a federal case. And when you make a federal case out of it, you got a such rock solid case against these people that you're going to lay it out that this judge is going to fear to rule against you because he doesn't want to put himself at risk. And he will push the other side to make a deal with you and make this case go away. And if he doesn't do it and they want to get you, maybe it's a big case for some reason, I don't know, and he doesn't deal with you that way, and he wants to go out, and he's going to take that chance and put himself at risk. It's only because they got something on him already, or they're paying him enough that he's willing to even go to jail if he has to. But he knows they're going to do everything they can to keep him out, but he's getting paid off. It doesn't matter. Look at our courts are so corrupt. It's unbelievable. What I've discovered and see, and I'm sure all the people here that are with us tonight and come and be participators with us here at National Liberty Alliance, they've seen it too. It's unbelievable. How could we have become such a corrupt nation? Okay? How has the justice system become the harlot? Because that's what it has become.
So... I don't know. I'm kind of hopeless now.
Yeah, I know. Look, well, that's what we're doing. We don't be hopeless. Look at. If you put your head in the sand like the proverbial ostrich, and the tsunami's coming, putting the head in the sand is not going to stop the tsunami. We have to face the truth, and we have to realize and become realists. Listen. We have to become realists. We have to say, okay, this is what we discovered. Now, what can we possibly do? Okay. Well, National Liberty Alliance has put together something that we can possibly do. That's what we can do. So we have a plan to deal with this. But again, we get back to patience. Every once in a while, we go, oh, what kind of success you got? You've been at this for years, and you didn't do that. You haven't accomplished. Well, these people don't have the patience no more. Look, Rome wasn't built in a day. We're not going to get this whole thing back in a day. It took us 5 years just to get to where we are to actually put the battle in. We've lost a lot of people over those 5 years who become frustrated and said, you're not getting it, because they weren't willing to even put the time in and the endurance, really. They did put some time, but they did not willing to put the endurance in to go the full race. They copped out in the middle of the race, but they didn't continue to go to the full. And we've had people who have come back also and say, you know, hey, you know, it looks like we're getting somewhere, and they shouldn't have left. But the thing is we have a plan, and we're at the plan, and it's the, look at the when you put pressure into a pipe, okay, and you want to push the substance in that pipe one way, and there's pressure pushing it the other way, well, whatever the greatest pressure is, the one that's going to rule where that material is going to go, that fluid, whether it's going to go this way or that way. We have to build our pressure up greater than the pressure they have against these people to force them to do what they're doing. And that's a lot of pressure. And let me tell you something, because, and I may be out on a limb here, but I don't think I am. Most of these people are lost in the pedophile ring. A lot of these judges and stuff, they got stuff on them. They got pictures. And it's going to take a lot to get them to go the right way, especially on a high level. So, you know, this is, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in the highest places. We're wrestling, and you know what? We the people on our own cannot win. We have to, only the people can save America, but we have to be doing the right thing, and ultimately it's got to be the Creator, because this is His court, this is His law. This isn't our court and our law, it's His court and His law, and we're stepping up for it. It's up to Him to win the battle. Our job is only to stand up and endure. That's our job. We don't have to win this thing, because that's not our job. Our job is to stand up for what is right, save and protect whoever we can, and of course ourselves, and just do the right thing. That's our job, the Maker's job. We're going to leave it to Him. That's His job, is to fix this thing and bring these SOBs down. And this is our strategy. This is our principle, and it works. It's real. Read the Bible. It works all the time.
Education is key. That's exactly right. Education is key. Yeah.
But we share your frustration, believe me, we share it.
Well, it just me, just from a lawful point of view, just from strategy, just from what's right. I mean, just
well,
from
then you're right. If it was just looking at it from that point of view, you're absolutely right. We should win that way.
I mean, there's just no way that traffic court is just traffic court. They just interrupt your whole life. And who's got that power? The DMV, the commissioner, or the DMV? Who the hell is he?
That's a conspiracy,
president, okay? I mean, this is, don't call me a criminal. You know, I mean, there's some serious name-calling here. And for what? I mean, it might seem like a little, it's an abuse. And you go along with it, you walk straight, you know, thinking, well,
look, if you're going to call them out in court and you're going to call the judge out and you're going to do all that stuff, you better have 50 people there, because that's what the judge respects. That's what they fear. They don't want people to see you questioning them. I mean, we had a guy in court, and he gave the judge a hard time because he was schooled in the law. And when he got all done, the next kid got up and he said, I want what he said. The whole court busted out because he made a good argument. The judge couldn't answer him. And you see, and so after that, they wouldn't let this guy in court, in a regular court. They started giving him his own court, which is illegal, by the way. They stuck him in his own room because they couldn't have him in the regular court because he had too many answers that they couldn't answer. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
you gotta amass with the people. You gotta have court watchers. That's part of our pressure too. You know, these guys work good when they're in the dark, but if you call them out and you have witnesses there, and you can get a little bit more politically, look, you can get politically connected in your
local community. Legitimate questions, actually. They're legitimate questions, really.
Right. And you say, look, I'm one of the people, and you're supposed to be working for me, and I have this question, and why can't you answer it? He might hold you in contempt. You got to be careful that you don't get
But
in the meantime, if you have 40 people there, he would be very careful about calling you in contempt because he knows he's going to piss off 40 people.
Well, you know what? I have an authority. I have a higher authority that I have to answer to. You know what? I mean, this is what it all boils down to in my mind. Like I said, you know, you be careful who you sign your name and who you're signing on with, you know? And we all know the evil that is pervading this planet, okay? And let's just say, okay, it's everywhere, okay? It's just everywhere. And so, yes, even the smallest...
Well, remember, Satan is prince and power of the earth.
And no, I did nothing wrong going down the road. Why? Because I sped up 10 miles over the speed limit. Now you want to pull me over, take me off the street and call me a criminal? I don't think so. And I'm a very law-abiding citizen. I love the law. I pay attention to the law. I'm not an unlawful person, but it seems that the world is becoming unlawful and predatory, okay? And I'm not being a smartass. I'm
25 minutes.
My soul is here after now. That's the way it feels.
Yeah, but But you're right in your thoughts and ideas. But you got to remember, though, there's a reason behind all this. You know, Satan has won by reason of conquest. He is, and the Bible is very clear on this. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. Now, the air is the place of conversation. That's in this world. He's prince and power. He controls the conversation of this world. And he's constantly looks like he's winning and winning. Look at, he may be winning a lot of the battles, but he's already lost the war. And he lost the war 2,000 years ago. But the thing is that if you even look at Israel, Israel had common law. And they had 400 years of success. They had some ups and downs during the time, because every time they disobeyed the law, the Lord, they started to get pressed down and beat up, and then they'd turn around and repent and bring back, and then they'd be blessed again, and they just succeeded in everything. 400 years, okay? And then they lost it. They've lost it all. Why? Because they went the wrong way. They become self-righteous. They didn't hold up the king of the court. And see, that's the solution right there, is holding up the king of the court and let the king win the battle. Because when you get over the mountain, they can get all their... And the Lord has already said, I'm not going to allow these people to fill the earth with their dark cities. He said that exactly like that in Isaiah. I'm not going to permit them to fill this earth with their dark cities. And we're very close to the earth being filled with their dark cities. Very, very close. And that means the finger of God is about to come down upon them. And I don't know how. I can suspect this way and I can suspect that way. But it's coming down upon them. Okay? It's going to come. The angry finger of God is going to come down upon them. Now, we have to just be doing the right thing and let him do the battle. Because when we get over that mountain and it's swelling with the enemy, and they're on the other side of the mountain, when we get over the other end of that mountain to take a battle with them, we're going to expect that they're all going to be laying dead, because God's going to take that battle on for us. And that has already happened in history, okay? If you go back and read about the Israel in their 400 years. So the same thing here, you know? We have to just step up, do the right thing, and endure, and never give up. He who endures unto the end. We have to endure in righteousness, whatever it is, whatever level. If we're in a position where we're seeing this on a large scale, which is where we're involved with, but it also participates, and most importantly for most people, it's on the much smaller scale of just their personal lives, their family lives, their relationships with people around them, just nothing big. It's all the same battle. But you know, look at he who endures unto the end, the same shall make it and be saved. That we have to endure. We cannot give up.
The same battle on the state level as it is on the federal level.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. And that, yes, and this is just on the everyday level. The microcosm is the macro. The macrocosm is the microcosm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the very small battles reflect the very big battles. It's all the same principles. Okay,
we pretty much agree with what you're saying, so. But we've got a lot of great points that have come out of this conversation, and a lot of clarity, I hope, that has come out of the conversation, and that should sharpen us all up. You know?
It's a great site. It's wonderful. It is what it is. Okay, thank you
right.
so much.
Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I'm still here.
Okay, we'll move on to the next one.
Do you hear me?
Hello? Who's
Can
that?
You
yes.
hear me?
Hello.
Yes, who's that?
This is Rhonda from Washington State.
Well, you got two people open, but go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that if you go to Twister Radio, which is the little station out of Gordon, Nebraska, that was involved with the Malheur fiasco, you can listen to the DJ talking with Brianna Bundy after she goes to court. And there's a half a dozen different times where he is interviewing her as to what happened in court that day.
We have that recording, and we have used that up on the Finnegan case. And that's mostly
okay.
to deal with, of course, what's going on out there, that what took place out there in Oregon.
Then
there's
one
another one that's dealing with
dealing with Las Vegas.
Okay,
Las Vegas.
So let's get that. We don't have that one. So if anyone could get that, get it to Jan.
Yeah, there's half a dozen of them on there. All you got to do is go to the Twister site, and they're all listed under free speech.
What's a Twister site?
Twister Radio is the name of the station.
Okay.
I'll give you the call letters if you want it.
Now is this a audio interview then, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. If you give us the information on it, we'll go out there. We're going to have to transcribe that. It's much better if we can get news that's in writing, but we can take it and transcribe it. So, and turn that into enough of a proof that we can use as a grand jury. Did I get disconnected? Because I don't hear anyone.
No, you're there. I hear you.
Okay, I got muted.
Okay.
One of the dates on there says August the 8th, so it's fairly recent.
Okay.
Okay, the call sign?
Yeah.
Is www.k...
Well, I'll find this on Twister Radio, right?
Yeah, you should be able to bring it up just putting in Twister Radio. It's out of Gordon, Nebraska.
Okay, Twister Radio, Nebraska. Okay.
Yeah, it's out of Gordon and Valentine.
KSDZ and KDJL?
Correct.
Okay.
On the left side, click on free speech.
Left side, free speech. I see it. Okay, got it.
Okay, and
right.
Then you should be able to either see all the lists,
mm-hmm.
Go down to the current dates.
Okay.
Go down, there's...
Jury deliberation begins.
Yeah, and there's Bundy Ranch standoff trial update with Brianna Bundy, and another one on the 9th.
Okay, yep, all right, I got it. I will
download
these. They're downloadable, I'm sure, right? Well, I can download
them. Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah,
okay.
I can download them, and once I download them, we'll get them transcribed, and then we can use that as proof. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and they're scattered all throughout there.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm going further up, yeah. Even back to February, and Brianda Bundy was recapping the trial update.
Right. Right. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. What time we got? We got a few minutes left. Who's next here? We go next.
Hello?
Yes. Who's this?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, Felicia?
All right, this is Felicia from Florida. Hold on, let me plug my earphones in and take y'all speaker.
Okay. It's kind of reverberating a little bit.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I received a letter in the mail saying that I was a tenant and, like, I had to send money to somebody that bought my house. And it was actually the same guy that put a letter on my house saying that my house was sold on 8/7. And he hired an attorney, and the letter said I was a tenant, you know. And it's like, okay. So I went to the sheriff's office and spoke to them, and they told me basically it was nothing that they can do. And that the grand jury, they looked into the documents, and that it was not on pacer.com, and it's not an official document, and that the grand jury needed to communicate with a judge or the courthouse so that I'm not evicted. And I told them, I said, well, they don't make phone calls. And they was like, well, they need to make some kind of one-on-one communication for that not to happen. Because if these people file these documents for me to be evicted, there's nothing they can do. And I was like, aren't you constitutional officers? And they said, yeah, but, you know, the common law grand jury is not, he was like the sovereign people. He was like, what is this? And God has nothing to do with this. And I was like, wow. So I'm like at a standpoint right now. So the same guy that actually put the letter on my door on 8/7/8/10 is the same guy, which is a broker, that actually bought my house and sending people around to look at it.
Right. Well, eventually they're going to use the sheriff to take your house. Actually, they're not going to use the sheriff to take your house. They're going to use the sheriff to evict you.
Right.
Okay. And the sheriff's going to have to. He thinks he's got to comply. Again, you know, this is going to be done through a town court, which is not a constitutional court, has no power, no authority to do these things. But again, ignorance in action, dangerous thing. Sheriff believes that they do have the power and the authority, and he has to obey them. So he's going to do this, and he's going to throw you out at some point. But they're going to wait till they build up at a certain point and they feel comfortable to do this. Meanwhile, they've probably played a lot of tricks by giving you dispossessors or something, maybe, because they've done this to a lot of people, and people will just give up and leave their houses thinking they have to leave when they really don't have to leave yet. Only the sheriff can do this. But, you know, as far as the papers saying this, that, or the other thing, it's he said, she said, okay? They say what they're saying, we're saying what we're saying. We know
he
truth.
He said he looked it up on Pacer, and it's...
Well, I will
there.
Tell you, I haven't been up to Pacer to take a look at this stuff. I know that Carl, one of our tech guys, has been up there, and whenever anything has been up there, he's let us know. We haven't heard back from him. I'm sure he's going to look now because he's listening. He's probably going to look tonight or tomorrow to see if we're up there, and I got to get out there to look too. It's been so long since I used Pacer, but I think it was pretty simple. But anyway... if the case is not there, we'll start looking into that, because now that's a removal that someone has broken the law, okay?
He said it's not there, and it's not a...
How long ago was that?
How long ago was what?
That he said it wasn't there.
Today.
Oh, today, okay. All right, because that's recent. You know, if you would have told me he said that 3 weeks or a month ago, well, that wouldn't be true, because we know it was up there. But now, I haven't looked. I'm going to look. And we're going to do a paper on this one also. We are sending our papers in, and they're not sending them back. and they are filing them in the court, but maybe they pulled the plug on PACER reporting it. Look at, we put up there the 9/11 thing, and we're about ready to put up the Finnegan case, and we're ready to do the Bundy case, and a lot of other cases. I mean, this is pressure and stress on these people.
Mr. John, he told me that the grand jury, sovereign of the people, we the people, had no standing in judicial court.
Right. Well, again, that he said, she said. This is what he's the enemy, and he's going to say lie and deceive, and maybe he does believe this himself. You know, look at the devil is self-deceived.
Yeah.
You know, he continues right on to the end. He thinks he's going to win.
He doesn't understand U.S. versus Williams. I would send him to U.S. versus Williams and say, well,
right,
what
but he
the,
doesn't want to understand either because he's an evil doer and he's got to stick with
no, he doesn't want to. I can tell because he was pushing me out the office.
Yeah, he's an evil doer, man. So, look it, we will win for one reason and one reason only, because we're standing up for that which is right and expecting God to win the war. We're not going to, we don't have it in our, look at you, we cannot go up against the devil and win. I don't care how many people come up together to go up against the devil and win. It's not going to happen. For us to win is a win against the devil. It's going to be huge when we win. And so we can't do it. We can do the right thing and can continue with endurance and to win the race, but it's God that's got to take him down. And he will. I believe he will.
He was like the sovereign of the people, God. I mean, all this has no standing. I'm like, I say, are you sure? He mentioned God. God had no standing.
They don't believe in God's law. They want their law. You know?
And I was like, wow.
Isn't the Constitution say the laws of nature and nature is God? He's not under that.
Ah, you know, that's what you should have said to him. If you get an opportunity, let him know. Ask him that. Exactly that. Laws of nature and nature's God. That's
you don't
a declaration
hold that.
Of independence.
The Constitution has no authority here, huh? You went right to the top. You threw God out right to the top so you could throw the Constitution.
And we the people ordained and established the Constitution. What about that? How does the government come above that one? You know?
And
the power and the authority is in the right of the power of the people through the grand jury and the trial jury. That's where our power is at.
He's like, I looked it up in PACER, and it's not there, and it's not a legal document, and who is the sovereign people of the grand jury? It has no jurisdiction. It has no standing in judicial court. And I looked at him. I said, are you sure? He said, yes.
Yeah.
All right, well, look it. He said, she said. We got to put the pressure on.
I guess if God has no standing, I guess we can't either, then, huh?
Yeah, I guess. And he, like, pushed me out the office. I was like, you trying to get rid of me? He's like, oh, no, it's not that. I just got things to do. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah.
But he was like, there's nothing they can do unless the grand jury contacts the courthouse directly on, you know, about it, because he didn't find that it was a legal document on any PACER or in the judicial system. So, and I told him, I said, well, they don't contact people. They don't make phone calls.
Well, we have contacted him directly, I think. Did you go through the non-judicial foreclosure with us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so he's been contacted already.
Yeah, I filed it with my...
Yeah, and we, sir, if that's the judge whose name you put down, then he's been served. Okay, he already knows, so we've already served him. Look at, they're looking for an individual to pounce on is what they're doing, okay? And that's why the grand jury has always remained anonymous. You know, they meet in secret and they decide in secret, and then they put it forward, and everything is done in the open. You know, the accusation and the laying out of what laws they broke is done openly and clearly, okay? There are affidavits of support more often than not. There's plenty of evidence to put forth, and then the investigation needs to go and continue by through the prosecutor, and then it's handed over to a trial jury for an open court opening of the accusations, you know, guilty or not guilty. And so everything is done in the open, but they have to protect the jury, and they have to protect the grand jury. People are not to have the names of the people in the jury, and people are not to have the names and the identification of the people in the grand jury. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to operate, you know?
Yeah.
So, look, at they're looking for a face. This is what they're doing. And something, and they want to do something with that.
I asked him, I said, why am I due process of law constantly being violated, and no one said anything?
Yeah, well, again, they're evil, evildoers, and, you know, they got to pay the toll. It's coming up. I think most of us realize we are in the end times. I mean, I don't know whether we have a week, a month, or a year, or 10 years, or even another 20 years. I have no idea. I mean, I can suspect certain things, but, you know, if one person is as right as the other person.
Why would he tell me that he...
But we do know that we're at the end.
Why would he tell me he couldn't find it? Why would he tell me he couldn't find it?
Well, that's interesting. We're going to look tomorrow. I'm going to look tomorrow to see if it's up there. So
okay.
You can ask that question on Monday. We will address it. If we're not up there, we will address it next Monday.
I'm running out of time.
Yeah. So...
But right. Mr. John, I think you should be a pastor. I just wanted to lay that out.
Oh, well, I used to be a Bible teacher for many, many years.
See, yeah, I knew it was something.
Yeah. So,
okay, well,
right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
No problem about that.
Okay, I think you got time for. Well, you got 1 minute. I don't know if you want to take another call or not, Gerard. Gerard, you're muted, I think. Well, I think we lost Gerard. I don't see him on the board no more. You see him out there, Jan?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think we lost him. All right, well, we're going to end the meeting. Appreciate everyone coming. We only got like about 30 seconds left. So, Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday. And again, endurance is the key. I did go up and I did fix the Monday night call page. I removed the committee they have to click join our committee meetings and go to another page to get that information so people don't confuse what is here. And this is forcing the people to read the first paragraph. Also, we have a listen live online radio. Whenever we go live, there's a we broadcast live over a radio. It's an online radio. And so some people may be listening there, clicking on and listening over there. You know, I think people were being confused by the instructions to get into the old room, which was below this, and they weren't reading the first paragraph. But hopefully that'll be corrected for next week. Okay, Lord willing, we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Have a good night.